It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Not only is it Thorn in the Side Thursday, it's also Halloween. And I guess we've got the meteorological equivalent of a trick, certainly no treat, here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cold Trump Genius Fan. I know talking about the weather is kind of facile and mundane, but it kind of needs to be said because, well, I've got Frontier Internet. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, who has Frontier Internet. And it's about as reliable as, well, it ain't reliable. So, remember, the internet here tends to run under the bed and hide during storms. And there's every possibility that that could happen here. Because, about noon or so, it was 75 degrees. It was gray, cloudy, and miserable, but it was 75 degrees, intermittent showers. And a few hours ago, storms started blowing through, and the temperature has been falling steadily since. It was 75 degrees outside, and in here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, it was up in the 80s. It has since dropped, with the external temperatures dropping. The internal temperatures have dropped here in the studio to 74, and we're on our way down to 36 tonight. It's just going to get colder and colder and colder. And that's bad. But more importantly, is the fact that, well, dadgummit, this program may just disappear in medias res, in midstream, depending on the fine folks at Frontier who, can't keep the internet up most of the time, or at least all of the time. So just a warning, if you're listening and all of a sudden not, and the you're listening to the program, you'll know that the internet has crapped out here. So, happy Halloween. I'm not doing anything, not dressing up or anything. Things are just a little too busy here. I'm here by myself some more. Agnes and Ferg are in a motel room until we can get the so-called criminal justice system sorted out. That won't happen until Tuesday. But as far as the beginning of the program is concerned, well, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And no different for the final day of October 2019. It's time to thank our Patreon subscribers. So thanks go out to Terrace, and thank you to Hamilton, thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, thank you to James, thank you to Scott in Wisconsin, thank you to Lori, thank you John, thank you Brock, thanks Ruth, thank you Nick, thank you Alex, thank you Horst over in Taiwan, thank you to John and Barb, thank you to Frank, thank you to Jeremy up in Vermont, thank you to Joey in Cleveland, thanks to Jim, thanks to Annette, thank you to Barbara and Baltimore Bob. Thank you to Ron. Thank you to Aaron, Kimberly, Carl, Jeff, our buddy Hung Like Jesus. Thank you to Colin. Thank you to Vernon in San Diego. Thank you to Andrea. Thank you very kindly to TJ Thanks, indeed. Thank you to Fab, Frank, the sponsor of the Fab Machine, which brings you this program every night. Thank you to Frank. Thank you to Albert in North Carolina. Thank you to Brendan. Thank you to James. Thanks, Glenn. Thanks, Alec. Thank you, Kay. Thank you, Joanne. Thank you, Marty. Thank you, John. And thank you to Kat in Ohio. Thank you to Joyce. Thank you to Robin. And thank you to Greg. Thanks all very kindly for being members of the Patreon portion of the Horn Family Community Congregation, and for being partial sponsors of the program. Thank you very much indeed. And a reminder, this has been Fundraising Free Radio for a full 7 days, a week. And that's awesome. I love Fundraising Free Radio. You have no... Well, yeah, I tell you, so you have an idea. You have an idea. And we'll get it started again tomorrow. And remember, this isn't fundraising. This is just a reminder. Tomorrow, we will begin the month, as we always do, with Bruce's Memorial Challenge. And that means that there will be $200 in matching funds on the table that will double your contribution. If you like the challenges, if you like to see your money doubled, tomorrow's a great day to do it. Okay, it is Thorn in the Side Thursday, and I have a feeling it's going to be plenty weird. What's that, Scott in San Diego? Special freaky West Virginia weather show open. Coming to you live and direct from the Henry Gale, Kansas homestead, caught up in a twister. Adi am. Here's Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid, guest starring Dorothy, Toto, and wait, there goes Miss Gulch on her two-wheeler. It's a little like that. That's the other part of if this program is suddenly interrupted, but I'll try to tell you if that's the case. It's the last day of October. We are well into autumn. We're over a month into autumn. We're a month and a week into autumn. 38 days, something like that. And we're under a tornado watch. Really, I'm not kidding. We've talked in the past about how this state is not tornado prone. It's one of the things that makes Appalachia nice, but, you know, they blew up all our mountains, so it's not quite the same anymore. And now we are. And so if I say, hey, gotta go, part of the gotta go will be me gathering up the kitty cats and the dog and heading for the basement and hoping for the best. But the tornado watch is in general till about midnight-ish. So that's where that all stands. So I guess that's all the housekeeping, really. Now, where to begin? How about this? A note coming in from our buddy Gary up in the greater New York City area. Subject line, Andrea Mitchell after the House vote. The minute that I saw the name Andrea Mitchell in the email subject line, I knew it was going to be something revolting. Oh, and by the way, yes, I watched Game 7 of the World Series last night. It was absolutely delightful. It was a nerve-wracking nail-biter until the seventh inning when the Nats went ahead, and then the eighth, they broke it into a million pieces. And it was glorious. Made more so, I might add, by the response of Nats fans. The gambling, the wagering is on now as to whether or not the Nationals will be invited to the White House. The local Fox affiliate in D.C. sent out its intrepid eyewitness team coverage action news reporter to get some responses among the celebrating fans. And this happened on Fox in D.C. The Goddess of Irony was looking out, you see, and that's why it winds up on Fox.
This is huge for D.C. D.C. needed this. We got some asshole in the fucking White House right now.
Yeah, blonde reporter lady said, This was huge for D.C. D.C. needed this. We got some fucking asshole in the White House. And somehow or another, nobody got to the delay switch, so that went out over the air. So I guess the Fox affiliate in Washington, D.C. is now liable for a $475,000 fine. Yay! But I love that fan. I like him a lot. Will Nitwit Nero invite them? Who knows? But I, if they do, I hope the Nats fans are surrounding the White House, booing and telling Trump to get the fuck out. Yeah, you're right. Steve in New York says cowbell to the guy, the Fox News news person interviewed. Absolutely. Oh, and then there's a right wing jackass. And what a great screen name this is. Cat Turd. Classy little maggots. This guy tweeted back on the 28th. I guess those rich elitist liberal Washington, D.C. baseball fans have never heard of the Trump curse. Houston Astros, 2019 World Series champions. Go ahead and put it in the books. I found that kind of interesting because I saw him show up again in another Twitter thread. In regard to something that Anthrax Coulter had said. But anyway, we'll get to that. No, I haven't seen anything yet. Scott in San Diego. How about them Nationals, Bob? Has Trump chimed in yet about Juan Soto's flag?
No, but I'm sure he will if he finds out.
Nitwit Nero's trying to recover from the hiding he took at the World Series by going to a UFC fight in New York. This evening? No, tomorrow night, I think. Here's hoping they boo the bejesus out of him. Oh, and Megan tells me he got booed again. There was video of Game 7 that showed the audience booing an ad on the Jumbotron for Trump 2020. Oh, that's nice. That's just refreshing. But anyway, back to Gary's note. I was watching the liberal MSNBC after the House vote, and the first two questions made me cringe and then turn it off. The first question, and this is, I bet you could even predict what the first question was. But because, you know, the multimillionaires of the for-profit media are as predictable as just about as predictable as the phases of the moon. The first question, and I'm paraphrasing, Gary says, was, do the Democrats risk a political backlash for the impeachment proceedings? The second question was, will this further divide the country? Maybe the first question could have been, are the Democrats approaching impeachment in the right way by narrowing the scope of the charges, not including the obstruction charges and emoluments violations and campaign finance law violations and scope of the hearing? Okay. But no, they're trying to maintain the bullshit duality and the ignorant idea. And they've been at it since every time somebody mentions impeachment, ever since the impeachment of Bill Clinton, they say, "Well, think about what happened to the Republicans after they impeached Bill Clinton." You mean nothing? You mean they stayed in power? You mean they continued to hold both the Senate and the House? Because they did. But the multimillionaires of the for-profit media, the doyen, you know, the doyens like Andrea Mitchell, Mrs. Greenspan, that ain't no liberal. That ain't no Democrat. Alan Greenspan is not out there hollering, "Workers of the world unite," or anything. Oh, no. Not in the least. Oh, and by the way, if you want to, feel free to pop by the Horn chat room. Sparky and Steve are in there, moderating right along, and Anatole and Squeaky and Yuki have come by. You come on by, too, if you want to. It's always fun in there. But, yeah, I mean, my God. Gary says, "I had to turn off the TV because my daughter said my yelling at the TV wasn't helping." I understand. But then again, since they are so predictable, I think we probably ought not do so much yelling. Will this further divide the country? Why couldn't one of the questions have been, oh, I don't know, are Republicans defecating all over their oaths to protect the Constitution by protecting Donald Trump instead? God, Andrea Mitchell has enough money. Why doesn't she retire and make room for somebody else to come up and be a new mouthpiece for the multimillionaires and billionaires? I guess that's just how it goes. Yeah, Jerry out in Arizona says, "I became a Nats fan the second the crowd booed Trump." Same here. Yeah, Monique wants to know, "Why is the orange moron coming to my city marathon Sunday? The police are already going to be stretched enough from the marathon. Now this asshole's coming here. I hate him." Well, he's going to be there Friday evening for that UFC fight. Just a reminder. Now, what else just to get this evening started? Oh, that's sweet. Steve in New York says, October 31st, 2019, my grandparents' anniversary. My dear grandma and grandpa died in 2007. They married on October 31st, 1943. This would have been their 76th anniversary. Happy anniversary, grandma and grandpa, wherever you are. And expanding on what Megan said a few minutes ago, Flavio says, yes, Trump was booed in Houston. When a misleading Trump ad came on the big screen, the boos and chants of "lock him up" resumed in Houston on all sides of the stadium. Megan says, I heard Andrea on MSNBC, too, while driving around running errands this afternoon. Every time I hear one of these news announcers frame the impeachment as a risky political maneuver for Democrats, who are somehow risking re-election, I scream and throw things. My first response today was, of course, fuck, doing what's actually right for the country. For my two cents, I think Republicans are severely overestimating their popularity this go-round. It made the House impeachment resolution vote today a beautiful thing. P.S. I saw Poppy Harlow on CNN frame it this way, too. And they're all going to, I suppose. Because for-profit media. Well, that, true. Randy says you would have thought that Alex Trebek and Larry King would have enough money, and yet they're hucksters on your TV. They worship mammon and not God. Well, I mean, Larry King, is he actually on a TV network? And Alex Trebek, well, I mean, that's a little bit different because who else is going to do Jeopardy? Who's going to be that? No. So, you know, I think that's a little, it's a little bit different from, say, Andrea Mitchell hanging on into her 102nd year. She is 102, right? Or is it 112? But, well, that's the big news of the day. The House voted on its impeachment procedural rules. Now, mind you, that every maggot in the House has been shrieking and pissing and moaning and squealing about how the process ain't fair. It ain't fair. We got to be transparent. We gotta let America see this here because it ain't fair to Donald Trump. So today they passed a resolution that we discussed it a couple of nights ago that would make that sets forward how we're going to go about making these proceedings public. So what did the Republicans do? The Democrats gave them everything they asked for, except actually letting the Republicans run it, which they would have run it into a ditch and into the ground, and it would have been forever forgotten. But they gave them what they asked for. So they voted 190, with almost unanimously, Justin Amash defected. Of course, he changed from Republican to Independent. He voted with the Democrats in favor of the resolution. It passed easily. But after pissing and moaning and throwing fits and invading hearings and ordering pizzas and violating the security of the skiff, well, all of a sudden they didn't want what they'd been asking for. All of a sudden, no. Sorry. They weren't interested. So there you go. But in the aftermath of that, the maggot brain trust showed up. And, oh, goodness mercy me, it was one for the ages. After voting in favor of a resolution that sets forth a cogent, coherent, straightforward process. We object to the process is what we object to, the process. We don't like the process. We need a good process. Okay, here's the process. No, we don't like that either. We're going to vote against it. Honest to God, if Nancy Pelosi authorized a resolution declaring that Donald Trump shits ice cream, these Republicans would vote against it because, well, Democrats were for it. What's that, Ron and Raleigh? Enough money, you say? Right-wing jag-off Pat Sajak has been hosting Wheel of Fortune for 44 years. He won't retire, nor will Vanna. I don't think either of them are. I don't think either of them are actually real. I think they're advanced constructs from some sort of CIA program to create, cyborgs or clones or something like that. Oh, that's true. That's true. Randy reminds us Larry King pushes Omega XL fish oil, but also some real estate tycoon. And Alex Trebek hustles some cheesy burial insurance company. Is it Colonial Pen? I don't know. But after the vote was taken, like I said, the brain trust showed up. Yeah, and the loyal opposition was led by none other than Louis Asparagus Gohmert, the man who makes us wonder, what in the hell is wrong with the voters in the 1st District of Texas? Or maybe it would be a much shorter list if we asked what was right with them. Because it's not like this guy wins by particularly close margins. How could you, day in and day out, how could you listen to Louis Asparagus Gohmert and think, you know what? That guy represents me. Makes me proud. Makes me want to sing the national anthem. No. And today was no better.
Of being at those hearings where we could hear and see for ourselves. And now we find out through the vote today that, yeah, the Judiciary Committee is ultimately going to get this from the Intelligence Committee, but never in the history of this country have we had such gross unfairness that...
Never. Never. Never in the history of this country. When people like Louis Asparagus Gohmert use absolute statements of absolutism, it becomes troubling. Never in this... In the history of this country, have we had such unfairness? Rounding up Japanese Americans and putting them in concentration camps? Nope. Not as unfair as today. The Sand Creek Massacre in Colorado when Colonel Chivington ordered his troops to slaughter women and children because, as he said, nits make lice? Nope. Not as unfair as the resolution that was passed today that makes the impeachment inquiry completely transparent. Sinking of the Lusitania by a German U-boat, 1916. Nope, not as unfair. I mean, we could go on. The entire Civil War. Not as unfair. The Haymarket Massacre. Not as unfair. The Ludlow mine slaughter. Not as unfair. Hell, coming up into the 21st century, the mining disasters at Sago and Upper Big Branch. Not as unfair. That's the problem in dealing in absolutes. This is just classic Louis Asparagus Gohmert demagoguery. What it boils down to is he doesn't care how many crimes Donald Trump commits or has committed. He wants him to commit more. And he is willing to display his absolute stupidity for all and sundry to see and hear, to make sure that his audience of one knows that he is still a worshipful acolyte.
one party would put armed guards with guns to prevent the duly authorized people from being able to hear the witnesses and see them for themselves.
See, that's a lie. I mean, maybe they did have to post armed guards, you know, Capitol Police, outside the skiff. Because when they simply trusted the Republicans to behave themselves, well, they bum-rushed the door, they ordered pizza, they violated the security protocols of the skiff. And then there's the duly elected part, or the duly authorized part. The duly authorized part makes it sound as though no Republicans were allowed into the hearing. But, of course, they were. And their staff. No one has prevented the Republican members of the Intelligence Committee or other committees from being in the room for these depositions. What Louis means is that he was not allowed in the room, or that Matt real-life Quagmire Getz, giggity, wasn't allowed into the room. It's not like I'm on the Agriculture Committee. Well, it's not on Intel either, Matt. Oops. Sometimes their willingness to just lie, bald-faced, in the light of the day, under the eye of Almighty God, the Almighty God they claim to believe in, is stunning and, yes, somewhat entertaining. Our buddy Mark adds, absolutes, the bonus army. Yeah, that too. Nothing's ever been as unfair. 3 Mile Island? That massive fire that killed so many in Wisconsin in the 19th century? Nope. Or how about right there in Louis State, how about the unregulated, uninspected fertilizer factory that blew up in West Texas? Blew up their junior high school, killed lots of people, sent tons of poison up into the air for people to have to breathe. Nope, not as unfair as a democratic process, which the Republicans lost by a democratic vote.
And then, oh, we hear from this resolution today, we're going to send you the depositions after we get through doctoring and looking at and editing the transcripts, we'll send you those.
Oh, you mean like the Mueller report? Oh, goodness me. Pot, meat, kettle.
So you have the evidence you need. That's not the kind of evidence that a coup should be based on. If we're going to have what they're trying to legalize as a coup, we ought to have a right to see each of those witnesses. And the only...
It's a coup. Coup. Yeah, it's a coup. Because a democratic vote in a democratic body, it constitutes a coup. He keeps using that word. I do not think it means what he thinks it means. Now, I mean, we've seen a coup take place. A coup took place in November of 2016. Any time that somebody gets into office by having fewer votes than the person who won the election, that's a coup. This is a coup. Coup-coup-ca-choo. I'm the Eggman.
Potential use for the deposition should be impeachment of those witnesses. Nothing else, not for anything substantive. The president's attorney, unlike in 74 and 98, were not allowed to be there, even see and hear the witnesses.
Well, that's because they wanted to have them killed. Part of this process has involved these sick freaks trying to out the whistleblower. After being told repeatedly, I'm not the whistleblower, they played, well, it was, remember that spiritualist years ago? Let's see, I'm having a vision here. There's somebody out there, they've got a loved one in the great beyond whose name begins with F. G? No, G? H? No? My spirit animal is telling me that the name begins with I, J, K, K, K. Yeah. Why, yes. Catherine. See, I told you, I'm magic that way. Mark adding, unfair? How about Kent State? See, this is a little intellectual historical exercise that we can play all night. But no, nothing has ever been, there's never been anything more unfair than them losing a vote.
So the references to this being a star chamber are not inappropriate.
No, just stupid, Louie, like you. It's not star chamber when the other side is in there too and able to ask whatever questions they want. And in the process, in the resolution that was passed today, well, by Jove, the Republicans even get to call witnesses as long as they can demonstrate relevance. I mean, you can't just subpoena Melania in melanoma in there to thrill the Republicans with her kidneys. There's got to be some rational relationship between the witness and the inquiry.
It's outrageous what's been going on for people who truly care about due process. Regarding the procedures now, the Judiciary Committee...
He's reading all this bullshit, you see. And here's the fun part. That means that somebody on his staff wrote this for him. I don't know quite what the process is, since we're complaining about, Republicans are complaining about process, but I can only assume that it involves who, you know, whatever staffer wrote this bilious garbage for Louis Asparagus Gohmert, pretty much had to pop the cork, or the plastic cap, more likely, on a bottle of old panther piss, stick in the swirly straw, suck down half of it, and start typing.
To operate pursuant to the procedures imposed by the chairman of the Rules Committee. Well, previously, one of the oldest committees in the House of Representatives, the Judiciary Committee, in prior impeachments, made the rules for the impeachment hearing. We didn't have it dictated by the Rules Committee.
I mean, why would you want the Rules Committee to be making any rules? I mean, it's the Rules Committee. How dare they want to make rules than the Rules Committee? I mean, the Rules Committee should limit themselves to endless games of canasta and parcheesi.
No, because this is the Judiciary Committee. These are people that are supposed to have expertise in constitutional issues. So, when you have the committee that has more expertise in constitutional issues, what did the majority do? We don't want the committee with the most expertise on constitutional issues dealing with these constitutional issues.
I think he probably, along with his staffer, got into the old panther piss. Megan, with a note, due process? Anyone finding it a bit rich that they're complaining about due process when we have a whole bunch of immigrants being detained with no due process? Kids in cages? Yeah, well, there's never been anything more unfair than this Democratic vote. Not even kids in cages in concentration camps. Not even kids in cages in concentration camps who fucking die.
We want to put armed guards outside a hearing and have it in a secret compartmented information facility. And we're not going to let the...
Yeah, because that's what SCIF stands for. Secret. That's what the S in SCIF is, what, secret. Oddly enough, it was a very poorly kept secret because Louie and Matt and a bunch of other freaks somehow managed to find their way down to it. So, hey. Yeah, I know, Randy and PA. Not as unfair as the JFK assassination. Oh, no. No. JFK's assassination was less unfair than this here proceeding. Louis Gohmert, it truly is. I mean, he could take the crown on Moran Monday and Titanic Tuesday on any given week.
Have the committee that has more expertise in.
Now, the reason I'm going all the way through this interminably stupid clip. Is to get to the hockey puck part. And yes, hockey puck warning, get it now. At least three, well, it's up to you, but get to hockey puck if you know what's good for you. And if you don't use the duct tape, you'll probably shoot it across the room. I mean, this is restaurant quality stupid. And as Monique points out, one of the more humorous aspects of, for instance, this clip from Louis Asparagus Gohmert, at no point in time does he say that the president is innocent, that Nitwit Nero didn't do any of the things that these people are swearing under oath that he did. Monique says, isn't John of Orange Boner still alive? Dems need to drag his drunk ass on TV and say he made these current House rules. I keep asking you, Bob, says Monique, who voted for these fools? Well, in Louis's case, they come from Tyler, Texas, Longview, Texas, Nacogdoches, Texas, Fort Worth. I mean, go look up the first congressional district of Texas, and by Jove, you'll see a map, and you can say to yourself, please, Jesus, don't ever let me find myself in the first congressional district of Texas. Because you just wouldn't want to be there. Yes, Eileen, you're absolutely right. Eileen in New York says, obviously someone taught Louis that word, or he would have said coop. It's coop. Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, hey, sailor. Louis Gohmert Pyle. Surprise, 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 Speaker Pelosi. Hooty hoot, hooty hoot. I gotta watch more modern TV, but they're just not coming up with the great taglines like they did. Boner's drunk ass? Asks Darlene in Connecticut. How about his cannabis-induced high ass? That's true. Remember, he's out there lobbying for legal weed and driving around smoking cigarettes in his RV now, and laughing and laughing. Scott in San Diego says regarding Louis Gohmert, there's something about his speaking cadence that really makes me wonder. Was he dropped onto his soft head at an early age? By the way, Louis's middle name is Buller. I don't know whether there's a typo there or if Buller is an abbreviation for bullshitter. I think it was more of an elision, because he was raised right, and his parents didn't want to just call him Louis Bullshitter Gohmert, so they just meant, Bull! You know, that's you know, you're good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, Republicans. They won't say shit, at least if anybody's watching. They'll just say, boo, that's boo, bull pookie. Lee in New York pointing out, has Louis Gohmert broken many tables with all that pounding? He hasn't spent any time pounding the law or the facts. And one of the more fascinating things is that before he became a member of the House of Representatives, he was actually allowed to sit in judgment of the conduct of other human beings. As a member of the Texas Court of, I believe, Criminal Appeals. Now, that'll make your liver quiver. Now, like I said, the hockey puck part. I've created plenty of space to go get the hockey puck.
What actually went on, and we're not even going to let them ask questions we don't want them to ask. We'll instruct the witnesses not to answer, because, you see, they want it to be a one-sided, non-due process, sham court.
It's not a court at all. If Louis had even passing familiarity with the Federalist Papers, he would know that this is not a legal proceeding, this is a political proceeding. But he doesn't, never will, and so consequently, he's... And again, I said for an audience of one, but this is also for Emery and Marveline there in the trailer park down at Busted Knuckle in their matching Barca loungers. Having deep and meaningful conversations about due process, which they spell D-O process.
And it's about to push this country to a civil war if they were to get their wishes.
And there it is. More stochastic terrorism. Calling for civil war. Did anybody holler civil war when the Republicans were chasing Bill Clinton's penis all over creation? Because I remember living through it, and I don't remember anybody saying, "Well, you know, we're going to get our guns out if you try to take Bill Clinton out of office." Most folks just said, "Wow, this is incredibly stupid." And of course, Bill Clinton was smarter. Whatever, say whatever else about him you wish, Bill Clinton was smarter in his own brain than the entirety of the Republican caucus put together. And that's how they got their asses handed to them.
And if there's one thing I don't want to see in my lifetime, I don't want to ever have participation in, it's a civil war.
Then why are you fulminating about it, Louis? It's kind of like when you go off on how horrified you are by how the homosexuals get it on. But you think about it more than gay people do, just like all the rest of the maggots. Why are you talking about civil war, Louis, if you don't want to see it? Well, the answer's fairly obvious. He's trying to intimidate our side. He's trying to intimidate us away from putting the Constitution before a sickening orange pustule of a human being. Darlene in Connecticut pointing out, Louis G. works himself into such an angry frenzy all the time with bullshit conspiracy theories, you have to ask him, are you enjoying being yourself? He clearly isn't, and his approach never works. How he keeps getting reelected is beyond me. Well, I don't think it would be beyond you, Darlene, if we were able to all pile in a vehicle and take an anthropological trip down to the First District of Texas and go toddling around Tyler and Longview and Nacogdoches and whatnot, because they actually like what Louis does. That's how he stays in office. That's how he keeps getting elected every 2 years. I think you may be right, Monique. Monique says, these people have seen too many of those Civil War reenactments in Virginia. Haley, meanwhile, Louis Gohmert, making my Congress critter look like a constitutional scholar. Well, to be fair, Louis Gohmert makes the cur dogs that get into our trash every Sunday night look like constitutional scholars. And you know, we're still trying to figure out what could possibly be behind all of this. Eileen in New York noting, I'm pretty sure Louis wasn't provided ample oxygen at birth. What else could it be? You know, not to get all Lady Gaga on us or anything, but some people are born that way. Monique's having way too much fun this evening. Can you see Trump as General Lee? Not the car. Well, maybe. But the car's orange. I don't know. The deep philosophical questions that bedevil our age.
Some historian, I don't remember who, said...
You know why he doesn't remember who? Because he's probably making it up. Because Louis is a liar. Lying Louis. A Louis Lulai. Oh, no singing.
Guns are only involved in the last phase of a civil war. What's gone on here has not protected the Constitution. It's not protected the institutions. It's not protected this little experiment in self-government. No, what it has done has put it all at risk.
I'll bet you. If you went back in the congressional record, I mean, I will just bet you that if you went back to 1848 or 1852, 1853, you could hear these same words, or you could find these same words, being uttered by members of the House from places just like Louis's from, in defense of the abhorrent institution of slavery. Because it's the same kind of argument. God told us to have slaves. And as I've remarked in the past, at least at one point in time, when you take the Capitol tour, you can see the very desk from the House of Representatives at which John Quincy Adams sat, having been president of the United States. He's the only president who went back to Congress. John Quincy Adams sat at his desk and authored a bill, an abolition bill, and he was censured by that body for so doing. These fuckers never change.
Because what some people in this body don't seem to understand is when you set a precedent as dangerous as what we have been watching for the last 3 years.
There's only one problem, Lulu. The precedent was set by your buddies Trey Gowdy and Eddie Munster Ryan and, yeah, John of Orange Boner. And now... it's come back to bite you. So his crocodile tears are not particularly convincing or persuasive. Not by a long shot. No. So let's see here. That's kind of how, and Louis is just one example. Something similar was blathered by a whole host of maggots over the course of the afternoon. They're desperately trying to gain control of the narrative, but they are not succeeding thus far even remotely, except to the extent that they've got brothers and sisters in arms like, Mrs. Greenspan, to blather away about how this will further divide the country. How? 55% of the country is in favor of impeaching and removing Nitwit Nero from office. 30 to 37% of this country would praise him for his love of country if, as he bragged, he was slaughtering people with a firearm in the middle of the road. They'd argue that whoever got shot, man, woman, child, had it coming. Because that's just how morally compromised and ethically bankrupt the maggots are. Kind of like the maggot I saw, whose truck I saw earlier today. I tried to snap a clear picture, but I couldn't get it in focus. But it was a beat-up old white pickup truck toddling down the road over in Summersville. Had to go over to get a prescription refilled. And on the back of it, in two arches, one was a sort of ellipse over the top, and the other was an ellipse over the bottom, formed sort of an oval. Two lines of text. And it read, "Vote for coal." And then the bottom line read, "It's black too." Because I live in a racist state. No getting around it. No sense in trying to hide from it. Vote for coal. It's black, too. Being a sort of dual form of racism. On the one hand, it's obviously a reference to Barack Obama, which means that that guy can't have had that sticker on his car for any fewer years than since 2016. And it's probably more likely been on his truck since 2012. Vote for coal, it's black too. Meaning that people didn't vote for Barack Obama because he was intelligent. They didn't vote for Barack Obama because his policies were better than those of a bizarre Mormon bishop in the form of Willard Romney. him with his binders full of women. Yeah, I remember. I'm not going to go out there and get all mushy and weepy over the fact that Willard Romney is a senator from Utah. Can't quite bring himself to sign on with the maggots, even though he sat there trying to get the Secretary of State's job and gave us that delightful photo of him with the help me blinking SOS with his eyelids photo while he was having dinner with Trump, and Trump was chawing away on some piece of shoe leather that used to be a New York strip with a big old puddle of ketchup on his plate. So vote for coal, it's black too. Means that the only reason Barack Obama got votes was because he's black. And that's your 30, 33, 37% of America that just can't imagine actually applying the Constitution of the United States to Donald Trump. In some instances, that's because the maggots have no idea what's in the Constitution and less interest in it. And then there are some of them who know what's in there and goddamn well despise it. And you're right, Monique. They remain jealous of Barack Obama because he was not only loved, but respected. There's nothing to respect in Donald Trump. He's a goddamn crooked little grifter. A slimy little crook. It's all he's ever been, it's all he ever will be. Megan says that bumper sticker is right up there with the Facebook meme going around in November 2016 that said, "Don't worry, liberals, America's first woman president is coming." With a picture of Ivanka Trump. I wank him a daddy Trump. No, I meant 2016 and 2012. Brother Deacon Ace is saying Barack wasn't running in 2016. I know that. But still, in 2016, as long as you'll just vote for something because it's black, vote for coal. It's kind of like that repulsive T-shirt that was for sale at one of the little festivals downtown here. Picture of an AR-15 on a T-shirt that said, "Is it because I'm black?" Equating people wanting to be shed of these engines of death somehow with racism. Stephen, New York asks, am I overreading this? It occurs to me that the more acerbic and crazy their rhetoric becomes is in direct proportion to how scared they themselves are becoming. It occurs to me that if they think a Senate vote is such a foregone conclusion, they wouldn't be so interested in the process and in derailing it. Well, what they're trying to do, Steve, is they're trying to protect their seats. If they just sit back and let it happen, then the folks in Tyler and Long Branch and Nacogdoches will feel that, they'll think that Louis wasn't doing his best for their god emperor. Because it's all about appearances. Meanwhile, over at the White House, they have finally tried to give guidance to the maggots in the Congress. Stephanie Grisham, who said that Colonel Vindman, no, it wasn't Colonel Vindman. But you said somebody was gotten rid of because he couldn't keep up with the genius of Trump. Stephanie Grisham, who hopefully after this is all over will be unemployable. I mean, maybe she could work down in the pit at Jiffy Lube or something. That is in no wise meant as an insult to folks who do that kind of work. It's hard work. And it requires attention to detail. Nope, Stephanie Grisham couldn't do that. Stephanie Grisham put out a statement. Stephanie Grisham, as press secretary, has never held a single press briefing because she's scared to goddamn death. Her statement said, "The president has done nothing wrong, and the Democrats know it. Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats' unhinged obsession with this illegitimate impeachment proceeding does not hurt President Trump. It hurts the American people. The Democrats want to render a verdict without giving the administration a chance to mount a defense." Stephanie Grisham doesn't know how the Constitution works either. Because when you put that defense up, that happens in front of the Senate. To say that the president's creeps should be making some sort of an argument, his lawyers or whatever, in front of the House, turns the process on its ear. That's like saying that the burglar or the arsonist or the murderer or the rapist should be able to go in front of the grand jury and present their case. That is simply not how the system works. Because in the case of both a grand jury and an impeachment, it is merely an inquiry into whether or not the thing has been done, and whether it is more likely than not that the person accused is the person who did the thing. And the standard is 50% plus 0.0001, the simplest of majorities. You don't get to the adversarial process until you get to the trial process. And that's in the Senate. The Democrats want to render a verdict without giving the administration a chance to mount a defense. No, you fucking dumbass! Articles of impeachment are not a verdict. They are a charge. This is unfair, unconstitutional, and fundamentally un-American. Well, no. It is quite constitutional and fundamentally American. But don't try telling that to Stephanie Grisham, because she's dumber in the head than a hog is in the ass. Jude in the Great Northwest with a note. "I recently read an article from a former Yale psychiatrist, I bet that's Bandy Lee, that the Trump cultists lack two significant qualities. One, profound lack of ability for critical thinking, how apparent. And two, lacking honor. The last one needs to be stated over and over and over and over. Love to all. Jude." Yeah, the honor is, well, there's no honor among thieves and there's no honor among maggots. Oh, and I don't remember doing it. Todd tells me Todd in South Carolina, Stan. I thought you banned the Texas Frenchies dumbass from the program. I don't remember doing that. Ah, yeah, okay. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. The correct spelling is Magadoches. Magadoches, not Nagadoches. I'll make a note of it. Jim pointing out, adulation of Trump. Now, there is true American Gothic, if ever. In the horror sense. Oh, and from Shorty in L.A., what an effing thorn. The latest fire called 46, get this, there's a new fire burning in California, ignited by a stolen vehicle fleeing authorities. Two have been arrested. Video from the scene showed the car completely engulfed in flames that quickly burned out of control. It was just too horrible, Shorty says. The 46 fire in Harupa Valley, I assume I'm supposed to pronounce that J as an H, ignited by stolen vehicle. God damn it. Thanks for letting us know, Shorty. And somehow or another, the Ronald Wilson Reagan Memorial Old 666 himself Presidential Library somehow managed to survive the Simi Valley fire. Damn it. And apparently, all the credit goes to goats. No, I'm not kidding, goats. I had a note from Lady B. Goats save the Reagan Library. Granted, it was overwork they did months ago, but nonetheless, the goats kept all the brush crop down so that the Reagan Museum of Criminality was saved. Lady B says their names are the best. The Caprine contractors included Vincent Van Goat, Selena Goatmez, and Goatsart. They helped save exhibits, including an Air Force One jet and a piece of the Berlin Wall. Lady B says, I'm a Capricorn, so I'm mindful that for some reason, the goat is half of my astrological symbol. I also know that it's sometimes used as an image of Satan. So it wouldn't be entirely out of place for me to conclude that not only is Reagan in hell, but also him being a lifelong friend of Satan, managed to corral some of Satan's earthly minions to save his library. Even in death, that fucker still manages to come out ahead. Greatest of all time, goat, indeed. Wow. A couple other things that need to be gotten to. One is hilarious, and it has to do with Anthrax Coulter. I told you earlier that I had seen this cat turd right-wing character elsewhere. Well, I saw it in regard to this story. When the vote was taken today on the impeachment procedure resolution, lo and behold, Tulsi Gabbard actually managed to find her way to voting in favor of the resolution. Mirabile dictu. She voted aye. Not present or any other such bullshit. Or nay, she voted aye. All the Democrats, except for two, a jackass from New Jersey and a jackass from Minnesota, voted aye. Well, upon finding out that this cat turd person tweeted, for all you foolish Tulsi Gabbard fans, because see, Tulsi's got a bunch of fans over on the right wing. Because she goes on Fox all the time and says shitty things about Democrats, and you know, she went and kissed Trump's hairy cheek before at Trump Tower before he was inaugurated, trying to get a cabinet position. So she's got a Republican fan base. And this cat turd creature tweeted, "For all you foolish Tulsi Gabbard fans, she just voted for the illegal impeachment coup. She's just a better-looking Nancy Pelosi." That's the same cat turd who, on October 28th, predicted that the World Series was over and Houston should just go ahead and be crowned champions. Gotta love them. Land Coulter, Anthrax Coulter, apparently saw this and had a conniption, tweeting the following. "No, she didn't. Tulsi is a senator, meaning she's in the Senate and doesn't vote on House resolutions." Oh, my God. It goes without saying that Tulsi Gabbard is a member of the House of Representatives. I guess Ann started drinking early today. Some wag said, "Ann, Tulsi's not a senator. She's the governor of Hawaii. Please make a note." Another individual piling on. "And I'm sure if you check the bottle of your hair bleach, there's a fine print warning on there about ventilating your bathroom first." Beautiful. "No, she didn't. She's a senator." Wow. Just, wow. And we were talking about the whiny maggots. According to a report in by McClatchy, a cat named Johnny Moore, who's a member of the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom, had a meeting at the White House with Nitwit Nero and looked at him and said, "They're trying to impeach us." See, that's how wrapped up the evangelicals are with their God Emperor. They see themselves in him, of him. Interviewed by McClatchy, this Johnny Moore character said that the evangelicals, no matter what Trump does, no matter how badly he violates the Constitution, his oath, and, the country as a whole, no matter, that the evangelicals are so special and privileged that they should get to have Trump stay in the White House because, quote, they represent a third of the country in some form. This Johnny Moore dude went on and said, "In a democracy, our voice matters, and our voice deserves representation in the public square." McClatchy also interviewed that sickening racist and warmongering stochastic terrorist, Pastor Robert Jeffress from Dallas, First Baptist Church of Dallas. He said that any charge against Trump is an assault on the Christian beliefs of evangelicals. Jeffers said, "They really believe that to impeach President Trump would be to impeach their own closely held values, and that's why they take impeachment so seriously." Babies. And the other thing that happened in the House today, wait a second, note. James says, regarding Tulsi, senator from Ann's home state of confusion. Well played. Megan says, Lady B, don't forget, goats are sacred to Thor, god of thunder. Yeah, and you know what? Chris in Germany just returned from a trip to Copenhagen. And imagine my delight when I went to the mailbox and found a parcel there. And she sent a reproduction of an ancient representation of Thor's hammer, a pendant, to Agnes. So Agnes, the Viking warrior pharaoh princess, is now walking around with Thor's hammer around her neck. Cross Agnes at your peril. Oh, that's good, Brother Deacon Asa. Bob, seeing as how far the evangelicals have their heads up Trump's fundament, they not only see themselves in him, they literally are in him. Yeah, if we can, as the old punchline goes, yeah, if we can get a light, we'll find my keys and drive out. Oh, and that fire that Shorty was telling us about? Yeah, that was the consequence from an out-of-control police chase. Fuckers, says Shorty from L.A. Billable Rick saying, thank goodness for the goats. I had no idea that John Britovo had lent his goat to the Reagan Library. The hell was he thinking? Oh, I don't think that was John's. I think John's beloved goat passed away recently, didn't she? Oh, okay, it was about John Kelly. Thank you. He couldn't keep up with the brilliance that is President Trump. Stephanie Grisham, Steve, letting me know that was said about John Kelly. But there were other things that happened on the Hill today and in the Capitol. Katie Hill gave her farewell address from Congress. And I'm still sad and pissed off about this. But she had her reasons, and I understand them. And she made clear there's a double standard at work here. And I'm of a certain age, so most of my life I did not grow up in a culture where everybody had a camera in their pocket that would make instantaneous photos that could go around the world in an instant. Well, Katie Hill did. It makes me grieve for the generation of people, for instance, of my grandchildren's age. And it makes me wonder and worry what this will come to. Katie Hill was attacked and revenge porned by her spouse, an ex, soon to be ex-spouse, an estranged spouse, working in concert with a website, Red State, owned by a Christian media organization, as previously noted on this program. It was also published in a tabloid in the UK. And they told her in no uncertain terms that they had more, and they would hundreds or perhaps thousands, and they would just continue to dribble them out until they had utterly destroyed her. Because she's a woman. Because she's a Democrat. IOKIYAR. But she gave her farewell address today, and it deserves airing. She deserves to be heard. And so we'll take a few minutes for that as well. Katie Hill, from the floor of the House today.
I am leaving now because of a double standard. I am leaving because I no longer want to be used as a bargaining chip. I'm leaving because I didn't want to be peddled by papers and blogs and websites used by shameless operatives for the dirtiest gutter politics that I've ever seen, and the right-wing media to drive clicks and expand their audience by distributing intimate photos of me taken without my knowledge, let alone my consent, for the sexual entertainment of millions. I'm leaving because of a misogynistic culture that gleefully consumed my naked pictures, capitalized on my sexuality, and enabled my abusive ex to continue that abuse, this time with the entire country watching. I am leaving because of the thousands of vile, threatening emails, calls, and texts that made me fear for my life and the lives of the people that I care about. Today is the first time I've left my apartment since the photos, taken without my consent, were released, and I'm scared. I'm leaving because for the sake of my community, my staff, my family, and myself, I can't allow this to continue. Because I've been told that people were angry when I stood strong after the first article was posted, and that they had hundreds more photos and text messages that they would release bit by bit until they broke me down to nothing, while they used my faults and my past to distract from the things that matter most. I'm leaving because there is only one investigation that deserves the attention of this country, and that's the one that we voted on today. Today, I ask you all to stand with me and commit to creating a future where this no longer happens to women and girls. Yes, I'm stepping down, but I refuse to let this experience scare off other women who dare to take risks, who dare to step into this light, who dare to be powerful. It might feel like they won in the short term, but they can't in the long term. We cannot let them. The way to overcome this setback is for women to keep showing up, to keep running for office, to keep stepping up as leaders, because the more we show up, the less power they have. I'm leaving, but we have men who have been credibly accused of intentional acts of sexual violence and remain in boardrooms, on the Supreme Court, in this very body, and worst of all, in the Oval Office. So the fight goes on to create the change that every woman and girl in this country deserves. Here in the halls of Congress, the fight will go on without me. And I trust so many of my colleagues to be strong on this front while I move on to one of the many other battlefields, because we have an entire culture that has to change, and we see it in stark clarity today. The forces of revenge by a bitter, jealous man, cyber exploitation and sexual shaming that target our gender, and a large segment of society that fears and hates powerful women have combined to push a young woman out of power and say that she doesn't belong here. Yet a man who brags about his sexual predation, who's had dozens of women come forward to accuse him of sexual assault, who pushes policies that are uniquely harmful to women, and who has filled the courts with judges who proudly rule to deprive women of the most fundamental right to control their own bodies, sits in the highest office of the land. And so today, as my last vote, I voted on impeachment proceedings, not just because of corruption, obstruction of justice, or gross misconduct, but because of the deepest abuse of power, including the abuse of power over women. Today, as my final act, I voted to move forward with the impeachment of Donald Trump on behalf of the women of the United States of America. We will not stand down. We will not be broken. We will not be silenced. We will rise, and we will make tomorrow better than today. Thank you, and I yield the balance of my time for now, but not forever.
Good on her. She said what needed to be said. The only thing that worries me in regard to Representative Hill is that the scumbags who attacked her don't stop just because she gave in to their demands. They will continue to torment her, I hope. I'm not a praying guy, but if I was, I'd pray that she can get justice against her ex, and against everyone who published this this garbage, and that California's revenge porn law, which has probably more teeth than any other such statute in the country, can be dropped on each and every one of these vengeful and almost entirely Republican pieces of shit, like a ton of damn bricks. Yeah, I did. Ron in Raleigh says, did you mention Tulsi Gabbard? I was in the kitchen frying my center-cut organically fed pork chops, and I thought I heard you mention Tulsi. She needs to just stop. She and Mayor Pete have gotten on my last nerve. P.S. A Mjolnir pendant? Sweet. Mjolnir. Yes. Brother Deacon Asa saying, our side is too goddamn quick to step aside as soon as there are any impropriety allegations. The last were pig licking who grabbed him by the pussy. They made him president. And the campus rapist? He now sits in judgment of others at the highest court in the land. We have a thing or two to learn from them. Yep, Monique pointing out, notice she didn't whimper and cry. See Kavanaugh. Yeah, she didn't screech. She didn't howl. She didn't holler about liking beer. And she also doesn't have millions of dollars in debt mysteriously disappeared on her behalf. If there was anything I would have preferred that she included in her remarks, it would have been that maybe nothing would have come of it, but it would have made big headlines and maybe started a conversation had Katie Hill said, yes, we have credibly abused sexual criminals on the Supreme Court, and as one of my last acts, I'm going to call for the impeachment of Brett Kavanaugh and Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas. Maybe as one of her last acts, she could have introduced articles of impeachment against both of those men. But that's not to say she didn't do enough. She did plenty. And her valedictory was not some smarmy, I'll miss you and love you, blah, blah. It was straightforward, and it was profound. It was honest. It was earnest. And I can only hope the best for her. And I suspect she'll land on her feet. At least I sincerely hope she does. And George Papadopoulos, coffee boy to Julius Geezer, says he's going to run for her seat. I only hope the people of her district have the common sense not to let another goddamn Republican in there. We are a little past the halfway point of the program. And so, it being a Thursday, let's take a moment to check in with Brad and Desi and see what's happening over on the Green News Report. Then we'll come back and, you know, your calls. I'll do that while the Green News Report is running. I'll make sure that the stress line is hooked up. Take it away, Brad and Desi.
It's Thursday, October 31. Boo! 2019.
We have ended, finally, the war on clean, beautiful coal.
People going back to work.
Not so much. Nation's largest coal company files for bankruptcy. California's wildfires and blackouts hold ominous warning for every state in the nation. Plus,
zero-emission vehicles is the wave of the future.
Major auto companies side with Trump administration against California on auto emission standards.
All of that and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
You know what they say, give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day. Teach a man to fish and he'll drain the oceans, bleach the coral reef, and bring the extinction of the human race.
This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, speaking of extinction, not good news for the coal industry again today.
No, definitely not. Here's Donald Trump during the campaign in 2016.
We're going to put the miners back to work.
And here is President Trump just last week.
The American coal industry, which is now starting to thrive again.
Turns out he's still wrong. The nation's largest coal company, Murray Energy, this week became the eighth coal company to seek bankruptcy protection this year alone. Owner Robert Murray is a million-dollar Trump donor and climate change denier whose long wish list of demands to protect his company from competition from cheaper, cleaner natural gas and renewables has been mostly enacted by his former lobbyist turned Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Andrew Wheeler. Trump's Energy Department is even now trying to orchestrate a multi-billion-dollar taxpayer bailout of the coal industry. Now, a big question is whether Murray will use bankruptcy court to shed his obligations to fund coal miner pensions and health care.
I don't get it. Robert Murray got just about everything he wanted from the Trump administration, and yet eight coal companies have declared bankruptcy? Why is that?
Market forces. Natural gas and renewables are cheaper and cleaner.
And nobody wants dirty, deadly coal anymore.
Meanwhile, California's wind-driven wildfires continue to rage, and for the first time ever, the National Weather Service issued this week an unprecedented extreme red flag warning for Southern California, forecasting ultra-dry conditions and hurricane-force wind gusts, which in turn triggered new preemptive blackouts to prevent downed electrical wires from igniting additional fires. The state's largest electric utility, Pacific Gas and Electric, is already in bankruptcy due to liability from fires in previous years that were caused by its aging equipment. And that, according to climate policy professor Leah Stokes on Democracy Now!, is a warning for utilities in every state.
If one utility from just 2 years of fires has up to $30 billion in liability, what will that mean for our infrastructure and our organizations across the United States as climate change worsens?
Coal companies declaring bankruptcy, privately owned for-profit fossil fuel utility companies declaring bankruptcy. I'm starting to see a pattern here, Des.
Yes, and you may want to also think about coastal infrastructure.
I'd rather not.
A new study concludes that previous projections of sea level rise caused by man-made global warming are probably too optimistic. That severe coastal flooding will hit the world's major coastal cities within the next 30 years.
You mean the bad news that we've been hearing for years is not bad enough on this score?
Exactly.
Great.
Nearly 300 million people are now living on land that will be below high tide lines in 2050. But the researchers do note that the actual impact of rising seas will depend on how much governments are willing to spend on adaptation measures like seawalls and whether governments choose to reduce emissions or not.
I'd say not.
Finally, a big split in the auto industry. General Motors, Fiat Chrysler, and Toyota this week announced they are intervening on the side of the Trump administration against the state of California as the administration attempts to strip the state of its authority under the Clean Air Act to enact more stringent fuel economy standards and emissions rules for cars and trucks in coming years, more stringent than federal standards. Ford, Honda, Volkswagen, and BMW are sticking with California. In a House oversight hearing on Wednesday, former California Governor Jerry Brown excoriated the automakers for choosing to abandon higher standards and increase air pollution to boost their short-term profits. Brown warned that, as happened in the 1970s, the U.S. auto industry will be left behind as the world market shifts to electric vehicles.
California is the way of the future. The combustion car is going the way of the dodo bird.
Consumers are pledging to boycott GM, Chrysler, and Toyota for choosing to join in the attack on California's air quality and emission standards and for choosing to intentionally make climate change worse.
I'm just thinking about those poor dodo birds. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. And thanks in advance to those of you who stopped by bradblog.com/donate to help the Green News Report celebrate our upcoming 1,000th episode. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Nothing seems right in cars.
Hey, speaking of speaking of earworm songs, I need a little help from the community, please. Because if there's anything that's worse than an earworm, it's having an earworm with no words, just melody. And this is a 70s tune. I was asked about it earlier today. It's driving Agnes bananas, and she passed it on to me because she loves me. And so I'm going to ask you, it's 70s. I'm hoping somebody out there will have the answer. I'd almost put money on Ron and Raleigh. If you can sort it out through my weird vocalization of it. Because I can't remember a single word. It was put to me this way, and all I can do is share it. There's a bridge or a passage, and it's like a really buzzy clavier, synthesizer, whatever. And it's na 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 na. And it's you know, it's kind of and I know that marks me as probably just being around the damn bend, but it's been hours, and my DJ brain can't find it. And if one of you knows what it is, the minute you tell me, I'll be like, oh, that, of course. Lady B, anything? Ron? And you know, you can't look it up or anything. It's the... na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And I think it's got kind of a funk vibe to it. But it is. It's just. I don't think there. I haven't seen any meds advertised for it on TV to make that shit go away. Na 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 na. Oh, I hope you can help. Ah, Lady B. Okay, let's see. Let's see if that's what it is. If it is, I'm going to be thrilled to pieces. And we'll just go ahead and screw up the file. Okay, that's fucking weird. I mentioned the cat commercial, the Geico cat commercial. And it's on YouTube now. Mentioned it yesterday. Bang, here it is. Okay, please let it be. Make sure that, you know, of course there's an ad. But we'll skip it. That's it. That's it. God, you guys are great. You have no idea what you did. Give me a minute here. I gotta text Agnes. There's going to be a sense of relief. And Lady B, I'm in eternal praise of and admiration of your DJ brain. No, Rusty, it's not in a Gata DeVita at 78 speed. Although it could be. So I just texted it to Agnes, and she said, yes! Sweet, sweet, oh so sweet relief. Randy says there was a website where you could sing a few bars and it would identify the song, but I forgot the website. What, and that's the problem. I didn't have anything to sing. All I had was na 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 na. 1978. I was pretty good in that regard. Wow, you guys are awesome. Hey, let's run over to the Skype line. Hey, welcome to the program,
Uncle Bob. How you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Scary Jerry.
Yeah, did you get my pictures I just sent?
Yeah, I did, man. I wrote back during the Green News and said, it's a pity they won't be around for Christmas because you could put some tinsel and some ornaments on them.
You know, I that almost happened because I was like, you know, somebody should sell these as a Christmas tree. that would make more sense to everyone. I'm actually getting off a public transportation, sort of high-speed, high-speed rail. And like happened to rail, so I'm going to let it pass by. So we can talk for a little bit. I've been dying to talk, but lately your filibusters have been fire. I haven't wanted to interrupt them.
Thanks, man.
No, a show you did with the cigarettes and how you described that about 8 days ago, I was like, A, that should be a movie. B, I can see it in my head, and it's black and white. And shit, we're exactly there. But I think this group way past cigarettes.
Oh, most likely, yeah.
But Bob, I've thought the first thing I wanted to address before, because I got a lot of shit to talk about, but I want to talk about the most important thing so we get to it. How's your son doing?
Well. We're making progress. We're still jumping through flaming hoops, and we've still got flaming hoops to jump through. But he's out.
Okay. I know that part, but how's he doing?
He's not okay.
Yeah.
He started treatment. He's getting counseling, therapy. Hopefully they're going to do a full workup. It's badly needed. And devilishly hard to find. And he says he wants to start working the steps, and far be it from me to tell him he shouldn't.
But it's
a brutal damn system in a broke ass state. Hey, let me interrupt for just 1 second, Jerry, because I was so excited about finding out what the damn song was. I didn't mention what the song was, so I got Ralphs and Ron and Raleigh. Ron and Raleigh's like, well, okay, well, what the fuck is it? And Ralph says, so what's the song, Bob? I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself, so excited. It's Everyone's a Winner, 1978, by Hot Chocolate.
I remember that song. In fact, I could almost recall it, but you didn't have enough data. But I was like, I've heard this song before because I'm from that generation, the 70s. Holy shit.
It's hours. I'm in the car, back and forth, motel, back home, grocery store, gas station, and it's in my head, and it's going, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And I felt like I was going to lose it.
You know what? I was laughing. I was on the train, and I looked up at my reflection, and I was like, you know what? This is the Alzheimer's happy hour, what we're all doing here. Coming out stuff and trying to remember what the hell it is.
So, yeah, Everyone's a Winner by Hot Chocolate.
I remember that. Now, one of my formative experiences where me and my dad broke, because my dad's a church guy, you know, as he presents to the world, we'll just leave it at that. And, wow, that was deep. What were we talking about there? We're not going to talk about that. And he was also a contractor. So one time we went to a contractor's house to do some work. I'm about 8, 9, or 10, very formative. And we walk into his this was the first time in my life. I was like, this is a sexy apartment. I don't even know what that is, but that's what this is. You know, it's one of those moments. And he had 10,000 vinyl records on his wall, and he was the DJ. And,
oh, my God.
I put my eyes laid on that, and I was, like, in a cathedral. And my dad grabbed my arm and yanked me out of there because he saw bad ideas. And I still want to be a DJ. And I've done 50 turns around the sun. So when you said you couldn't remember a song, I actually was breaking out in a rash for you.
It was physically painful.
I said, I hate that feeling. Yeah, you can't do anything else. Nothing will get done until you know the name of this fucking song.
And Brother Deacon Asa tells me that there's a website called, or an app maybe, called Sound Hound, and you can hum the song. Wow.
That is amazing. All right, couple of things. And
sure.
If we don't get to it. I started my first 12-step program 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And it took me almost 30 years to find out that I was really severely bipolar. And the best thing to cure that would be, and I only admit that to my family these days. I don't even talk to regular people about that because, you know, regular people are assholes. Diet. Kind of like the diet changes that they've had success with for autistic people.
Diet and exercise, right?
No, when I say diet, I'm going to get really intense and really granular on diet.
Okay.
Almost anything that, no high fructose corn syrup, no monosodium glutamate, no sweeteners, less meat, lots of green vegetables. You're trying to change the actual gut bacteria because your gut bacteria control your moods. That's what they're finding out. Your stomach.
Well, yeah, I remember reports from a couple of years back, and the best way they had to describe it was that you have two. The human body has two brains. There's the brain in your head, and there's a gut brain.
Yes, and the gut brain's first. The wires go to the from the gut to the brain, not the other way. So there are two types of problems. There are problems in stomach problems. I also wanted to know, what was he eating? See, because I knew he was going to go to jail when he wrecked the car. How about that?
Well, that's...
I'd literally seen this movie before, and I'm like, well, hopefully he doesn't kill himself with the next cycle, because there's something to do with the moon, as odd as that would seem.
You know what? You're
I
not
emergency room nurses.
No, no, no. I know. You're not kidding, because over the last couple of years, his mother and I have gotten to a point where, and I mean, this has gone on years. If the moon's full, bad things. And I'm not, you know, I'm not into astrology or you know, read the book or Marianne Williams and New Age crystals or any of that shit. But you know, if the moon can cause the tide to flood Miami, and if the gravitational
inflammation, Bob,
yeah,
inflammation, it's all the little water passages in our head. It takes a quarter millimeter for shit to go bad. Just a little bit of inflammation.
Well, and you know, that's actually consistent with peer reviewed science, Jerry. Insofar as, for instance, one of the scientists that we work with in the 8 campaign says the way he explains the effect of ultrafine particles, the negative effect on human organ systems, is he said,
yes,
everything stems from inflammation, and those
yes,
ultrafine particles cause inflammation at a subcellular level.
Which is my next thing that I wanted to jump up and down about, the plants. And this is, I hate to give credit where credit is due, but those plants are the only damn thing Mitch McConnell British has ever done for me the fucking 30 years he's been in business. He said, hey, CBD is okay. CBD reduces brain inflammation from my side of things, not as a cream, not as a potion, not as a spell, but as smokable material. Nails it. Works better than anything they've ever given me that made my liver swell and my mind race. And there's not much of a buzz to it. Now, back to the 12-step thing. The 12-steps are a really excellent way to find out exactly what the fuck's wrong with you and how not to blow shit up as you figure that out. It is a bit of a God hustle, but as far as God hustles go, it's the most wholesome one out there.
Yeah, it's them and the Unitarians are fairly benign, because in both the Unitarians and the 12 steps, they tuck in and they make sure and they put it in italics, as we understood him. So that means that
now here's where it gets crazy.
Yeah,
I've been to Alcoholics Anonymous. I went to NA, and the only anonymous program that's ever hit for me was Overeaters Anonymous, because I had a food binging problem. And this all goes back to what we're talking about. The food binging problem would be, as I ascertain now, my stomach looking for nutrients.
Well, I remember a long time ago, back when I was at WVU, hearing the late, great Dick Gregory, who came and gave a lecture, and of course he was hilarious. But at the same time, he was talking about nutrition.
I met Dick Gregory. In fact, okay, I met Dick Gregory, and I was like, no, that's a lie. My dad met Dick Gregory. We had a health food store in Northwest Dangerous Miami almost 40 years ago, and he came in.
Well, that would be pretty much
before Google, so.
Yeah, that would be pretty much consistent with when I met him at WVU, because I was a student there, and I graduated there in 1985. And part of what he was talking about at the time, and the example that he used is, you do not have to be skinny and your ribs showing to be malnourished. He said there are plenty of malnourished executives out there popping the buttons on their vests. So. You know,
the food is bad as the air, Bob. That's the quick point. We eat factory food, and they don't give a fuck. Rich people, as Eddie Murphy would say, rich people don't eat that shit. They wouldn't even touch the box.
Yeah, I mean that's why now I find it interesting. Just over the course of my life, to think about how grocery stores have changed. Now, at least here where I live, where you've got a lot of poverty, there is an entire side of an aisle dedicated to 25-cent packets of ramen.
Yep. 18 cents, Bob, not 25 cents. I've seen 18 cents ramen.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, wrap your mind around.
And I remember...
well, it's not the fancy one. We're on a budget.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not the fancy 75-cent ramen with the Flavor Boost packet. But yeah, Michael Pollan, a few years back, in his best-selling book, came down to the conclusion that he said that the Western diet consists primarily of corn and diesel fuel.
Yeah, pretty much. And GMO sugar.
Yeah. And of course, I've been on a crusade. Well, no, but I've been on my own personal crusade against high fructose corn syrup for years, because I'm convinced that it had a hand in the beginnings, along with a couple of pharmaceuticals, of my idiopathic pancreatitis.
Well, my mom's dead, so yeah. And we used to swig that like we were running out of style. Died of pancreatic cancer. So yeah, Bob, you're right. Of course, you know, to keep score, I had to, you know, trade in a life. But we're kind of in an advanced version of that Star Trek episode where we all walk around pretending like everything's okay. And then one day you got to get in the box and die because your number's up. Doesn't matter what it is. It could be an airbag that, you know, is too cheap. It could be a shooting. It could be a, which what really killed my mom was a substituted batch of insulin. I don't have any proof. But I have worked and I used to sell pharmaceuticals professionally, and I could tell batches. I could tell a bad batch, and I was in a bad batch because 12 people in the hospital with the exact same 600 blood sugar, all about the same age. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
And dying.
I do. And in fact, I read a story about someone dying out of a bad batch of insulin just in the last couple of weeks. Agnes sent it along to me because she does show prep as well as I do, as much as I do. And yeah, the random weirdness and stupidity of it all. There was a story out of Iowa. Beth, our buddy Beth in Dallas found it. Man, your mic's really noisy. I don't know if it's windy
or what.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm moving. Hold on. I'm trying to catch a bus, actually.
Oh, okay. But
and I missed it, so fuck it.
Yeah. But they were having a gender
show, not just like in a friend.
Yeah, they were having a gender reveal party in Iowa. And these things should not happen. I mean, it's just so they were going to make a little homemade mortar that would shoot the smoke out to announce, you know, it's either pink or blue, and it was going to shoot the smoke out to announce the gender of the new baby. And so a 56-year-old woman, an aunt or a granny, was standing about 40 feet away, and because they didn't know shit from Shinola about what they were doing, they actually turned their little mortar into an IED, and she was killed instantly by a chunk of flying metal that went 70 feet on past her.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Or it could be a bullshit vape by, you know, some odd Chinese vape company, and none of the components in the cartridge are even weed. But yeah, nobody's checking, nobody cares, everybody got paid.
Right.
Oh, she died. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, and I mean, I won't touch them around here, because you know some of them have been analyzed, and lo and behold, they got fucking fentanyl in them.
Fentanyl, or there's worse things than fentanyl, Bob.
Oh, believe me, I know.
the new fake cannabis. They were dropping people last year, where you have just all of a sudden a mass overdose, 50 people all of a sudden. You know, they buy from the guy, they walk in the corner, they drop, not dead, catatonic. 50 people at one time. Anyways, let's get to the politics, Bob.
Okay.
And I need the help of the porn, actual intelligence, or an AI, and go, hypothetically speaking, if we were going to do some attack ads, and we're going to do it on the platform that nobody except an orange bastard is adept at on the internet, how do we do that? Because that ad space is really fucking cheap. It's just technically, you could put anything on there, and if you pay for it, you can get away with it.
Well, but I assume you mean Twitter. And the problem with that, Jerry,
Bob. No, I'm not talking Twitter.
Oh, no.
No, Bob. I got dastardly. It's never been done, but since did some shit. So I think, as I wrote on YouTube, it takes Americans time to get off the couch, but when we actually do get off the couch, run, bitch, run. Because we're coming. No, I thought about something hypothetically. What if I could put an ad on Donald Trump's phone? So where, no matter where he went, he could find the truth. Couldn't block it out. Which, well, yeah, talking about type of ads. We say, I'm buying a bed, and then all of a sudden, everything is a bed ad for the next 6 months. That's what I'm talking about. And how would I engineer that? So the cost paid laws allows you to do fucked up like that. And it's totally legal. You could put in every district the way Cambridge Analytica targeted us in every district. Everybody who voted no, you could go after them with the most outrageous shit at pennies an impression. And if they didn't click, it wouldn't matter about that.
Damn. That's fascinating.
Not even pennies a click. It's like a hundredth of a penny per click.
Yeah.
And nobody cares how they get picked in that business. And they don't care. So just as long as it's not titties. You could target guys like EW. Oh, I want to talk about EW for a fucking second. There are a few people who I would take the felony and go, okay, what's bail costing tonight? And just hit right in the face, and he's on the list. But here for a special reason. And this is what I wanted to call in last night. But because it was a scary vision, because I don't know if we're all ready for it, but I'm going to throw it out there too, because we all got to get to work. We all got to make a voter, I figure. We do. We all got to make a voter. Make five if you have to. We need 50 million new voters. That's how we win this.
Yeah, you've got it. You've got them. And the other side's already working at it. You got to get those 48% of people who said fuck it and didn't show up in 2016. You got to motivate.
I figured out how to engage them because I've been thinking about this whole thing, and Democrats' problems are we use too many fucking words.
Yes.
Nobody has time for that shit.
If you ask us what time it is, we will tell you how to build a fucking watch.
We will tell you the history of time.
This
guy who invented it, and we'll go to then Egypt, and then, you know, we'll take it to the sundial and go to the smartwatch, and nobody cares. Here's how you do it. There's a guy who lives in my apartment complex who is he did some shit in the wars, let's just say. He's a veteran. He's the type of guy who could shoot somebody. The cops all come, and he goes back into his thing and they just take his guns and his beer away until the next time. But he's a veteran. Very pro this. He's Trump's guy. And I asked him this morning as we were moving the garbage, I go, let me ask you a question hypothetically. I want you to listen to the world's shortest political poll, and he laughs. I go, if you were going to do crimes in the White House, would you use the White House phone? Or would you buy maybe a flip phone? And he died laughing. I go, your commander-in-chief's an idiot, sir. He goes, yeah, I know. I know. And he was chuckling about it as he moved along, but you couldn't. Humor takes it right down to the bone. That's basically what we're talking about. would you trust a guy who couldn't even buy a flip phone? Fuck how you feel. Fuck how you feel about abortion. Fuck how you feel about everything. He couldn't even buy. He thought he could make the kind of call, regardless of how you feel, off of the White House official lines. Where 50 people were listening on it and going, holy shit. He couldn't even pull that off. The lie to take care of another lie. If the Russian thing is real, why did you blow up your presidency to make this go? Now, I watching Nancy today, and I called Nancy Pelosi, Madam Speaker. I called her in 1994 and congratulate her. He's going to jail, Bob.
Well, the latest, I don't know if you've seen it, but the latest scheme, Jerry, is basically straight up bribery on his part.
Yeah, no, I knew they were bribing.
No, he is bribing senators to vote against conviction when the bill of impeachment gets there. And it may very well be a crime already. Politico had the report, and the quote from the story, Trump is tapping his vast fundraising network for a handful of loyal senators facing tough re-election bids in 2020. Each of them has signed on to a Republican-backed resolution condemning the inquiry as unprecedented and undemocratic.
How about to the next thing? We're already in a recession. I think we've been in a recession 3 months. I have a thing called my price of a can of soda index.
Yeah.
And my floppy white temporary tag index. You can tell how the economy is doing and how people feel about the economy, but how many flappy white temporary tags on cars? Doesn't have to be a new car. Just has to be a newer car or whatever.
No, you just have to have purchased it and you're putting a new tag on it. Right.
Yeah. The last time I saw this lack of tags was right before the crash of 2007, because I'm in a very car conscious.
Oh, yeah.
Car centric place. And it's not happening. Everybody's holding on to their hatch, as they say.
Well, it's interesting you would mention that, because last night in the follow up to the World Series, they had Steven Strasburg, the MVP winner, out there, and Chevrolet presented him with a shiny new Corvette, the brand new mid engine Corvette Stingray, that's not even going to hit the market until next year. And it's weird that you would mention that. Of course, it's just funny how this program works. I was sitting there watching it all go down, and I thought, you know, they may be introducing that at just the wrong time.
That's how it always is. Okay, now, you were talking about why I want to call in yesterday. I'm a ex or a reformed or a recovering Seventh-day Adventurer.
Really?
Of course, I may have to. Oh, Bob, I went to the colleges, not just the schools. Do you understand how deep we're talking here?
Yeah, no. Dip by the heel.
I went to the college, okay? And I went, they blew smoke up my ass for literally 6 years, and they convinced me to go to a racist-ass college in the middle of Tennessee as a Metro Miami-loving type person. Yeah.
That must have been a little shocking.
Anyways, you know what? I could talk 3 hours, just stories up there, but I got, there's somewhere I'm headed. The biggest thing that most people don't know about Seventh-day Adventurers is their apocalyptic bent. They're really apocalyptic. We were prepping before we had it was the hashtag, but that we believe that the keys of the beast didn't have a word back then, doesn't have a Christian fucking fundamentalism. And that would align with the Antichrist and the child molesting fucks over in Italy.
Yeah, that sounds about consistent.
It might be Pence, man.
He could sit. He could sit there with his perfect hair and smile while millions died.
No, he's good at lying. He really is. He has the skills that Trump does not. Because you, Trump, you're going, get the fuck out of here. Pence, you're going, this might be true. I don't know. Could be. So something will happen, and it'll be Pence, and Pence is all of a sudden going to want us to go to church on Sunday, and that's our trigger phrase for the adventurers. When they pick out the day you got to go to church, that's how you'll know. That's how you'll know you're going to have to start getting bees and making your own power and burying food and maybe buying a gun. And here's the fucked up thing, Bob. 20 years ago, that was some crazy ass sounding shit. Don't sound that crazy today, does it, Bob?
No, it doesn't.
Sounds like fucking common sense.
Well, it's like the clip last night from Ann Graham Lotz. Blathering away about Gog and Magog, and you know that shit was goofy when Hal Lindsey was pushing it in 1970, and it's just been recycled for a new generation of rubes.
When EGW was dropping her science, she didn't have the words to go. She said, "Hey, you won't be able to eat the meat." Well, now I know why. There's no fucking meat inspectors.
Ta-da.
Government and tax cuts.
Well, I mean, look, I mentioned it the other night. Throughout most of the Southeast for a while, Taco Bell couldn't provide anybody with their allegedly ground beef meat because it had fucking metal shavings in it. Now, how the hell does that happen? Well, it happens because there's nobody standing there making sure the goddamn ground beef doesn't have any metal shavings in it.
How about an Impossible Whopper tastes like Whoppers used to 20 years ago? So if actual Whoppers taste like they do now, what the hell's an actual Whopper? How about that, Bob?
Oh, yeah, look, I'm so old I can remember when a McDonald's hamburger tasted good.
I can remember
when the bread wasn't like cake.
Wow. Oh, I had one unfulfilled mission for 2000, two unfulfilled missions for 2019. I was supposed to be doing Fantasy Fest tonight. And if you don't know about Fantasy Fest, Google that shit. I didn't have the money and I'm old and tired. Just Fantasy Fest is a very liberal kind of outdoor adult festival in the Keys tonight. They start with clothes about 4 o'clock in the morning. Nobody have any clothes. The world's largest costume party. But I digress. In fact, I don't even know where the hell I'm going with this. What was I talking about? Oh, I'm here. Damn it. Point being, all right, we'll go on to the next point. If I'm starting to feel Andrew Yang, by the way, I really, you know, I am.
I get why people do. I think it's obvious he's an intelligent man. He's not one of these stupid rich people because all he's ever done is spend his money trying to get more money. I don't know if he perturbs me because his idea of universal basic income makes things like Social Security disability disappear.
Maybe.
And there's
people whack him over. We've been trying evil shit for 50 years. Really, we have. Then we try a little sanity for 4 years, and we bet we're back to evil shit. It's time for the evil shit to stop. We have, they go 12 years. I think we got 5 years of habitation or habitability, meaning you're going to be one in four of sometime this year you may have to run for your fucking life. That's the best plan in the 21st century. Pack your shit and run, whether it be a fire, a tornado, a flood, or a hurricane.
Yeah, I'm not a prepper. I'm not a prepper by any sense of the word, but I keep a bag packed, and we keep no less than 20 gallons of water around here. The gas cans stay filled, the generator stays in working condition, and once cold weather starts, we keep propane and we keep a couple of 5 gallon jugs of kerosene, because See, what you're waiting for, Jerry, in many senses, already exists where I am.
And it's just everywhere now, Bob.
Yeah,
even if you're LeBron James.
Yeah.
Even if you're LeBron James. LeBron James this week without trying to find a hotel room because this house might burn down. So it really doesn't matter.
I know. But there is an abiding sense. And I mean, I don't say this as hyperbole to motivate people. Yeah, I don't need to motivate this community to do the right, you know, to do the right thing when the time comes to go and vote. We're self-motivated. But the fact of the matter is, I am absolutely convinced that if he is not gone on January 20th, 2021, if we got four more years of this shit, the Republic cannot survive. It will not survive. They're telling us they don't want it to survive. They want a they want a monarch. It's like the clip last night, again, Ann Graham Lotz, where they're chironing up a Bible verse about kings. Well, he's not a king.
We got the Minionists running finally with the. They've been. I heard. I used to have to listen to this shit on Saturdays because that was the only media we were allowed to consume to find out that these are all the crazy ass fundamentalists. They've been planning this shit for 40 years, man.
Yeah.
And they almost have Thanos' glove of power. They're one stone away, and that's an election.
And it's this
one. If you don't vote the next month, don't worry about it. You won't have to.
I think you're right.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's it, and that's that.
Oh, hey, let me back up for a minute. You were talking about the high fructose corn syrup and all that stuff. Just for people who don't know, and I'm sure you do, there is a solid form of high fructose corn syrup.
Which one's that?
And you will see it in ingredients list. And when you see it, when you read the word, you need to hear high fructose corn syrup in your mind. Maltodextrin.
I love that shit.
That's the solid form of high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, it's. I love that shit. I've actually, I went on a high fructose. I'm a vegetarian vegan anyways, but I want, you know, stubborn love handles. So I went on a little diet of that last month where if I want a soda, for instance, I get up, go to the store at 2 a.m. and buy a Mexican soda, either a Coca-Cola or a...
Yeah, because that's got real sugar, cane sugar.
And here's another
neat little trick. Since you live in a community with a sizable Jewish population, around Passover, stores in neighborhoods that have a sizable Jewish population will have Coke with sugar in it, because high fructose corn syrup ain't kosher.
Nope. Well, you know, I married a Jewish girl. Last year we had babies. We tried to figure it out at the time. So my kids are Jamaican. So, yeah, I got you. I think I remember telling me that.
That's a great word. Yeah.
Actually, Brunami is a great word. That's my culinary name for this evil Democratic hit job. That's what I want. I want those guys on TV just to scream and yell. If I piss off Tucker Carlson, I've done my job. If Hannity is looking for me with a gun, I have done my job. That's how you jump over that?
Hannity and a firearm, he'd shoot his eye out.
No, I think you can shoot again. So I, you know what? I'm gonna have to take people up on their psychopath credentials at this point.
Yeah, when they tell you, believe them.
Yeah, it's true. Those are. You know what? Yeah. We got that Republican. They just found out that Republican was selling girls. Did you find?
Yeah, I saw that.
It was an adoption service.
Yeah, and he was
selling girls.
Yeah.
So buckle up, man, because this is all what we know. I was asking myself, why would they be acting all crazy? And I'm like, because it's terrible. It's all terrible. Literally, I was thinking about it. I go, somebody should have set a trash can on fire. That would have been more effective. Set off the smoke alarm, everybody running around. There seems to be no consequences. That's what I would have done. I don't know. I think Trump maybe used to be a criminal mastermind, but I think your over-the-phone syphilitic diagnosis may be correct, which is why you shouldn't lie, because one day you won't be able to keep up. Here we are. And that's it, Bob. I got to go do some liberal guy stuff in South Florida on Halloween night. Do you know how epic that is?
Oh, God, it's got to be. It has got to be.
I was going to work this morning, and there was this about 23, 24-year-old Latina on the sin side, and she was wearing a slutty nun's outfit. I'm like, that looks like a – no, she's wearing a short skirt. That's not – it's Halloween. And I looked at
and
her.
And the light went on.
I joined your religion. And she died laughing. And I'm like, yeah, this ain't going on in Kansas right now. And that was it.
Beautiful, man. Beautiful. Well, enjoy it. And, hey, enjoy the harvest. Those were beautiful. They're just gorgeous.
That was you know what? I figured that we're all going to need a lot of weed next year.
I think you're probably right. And you know, it'll probably be ready just in time for the primaries.
I got something. I'm trying to figure out how I want to go for the primaries, if I want to go up or down or sideways. And big ups to the Nationals.
Yeah.
And that's it. I love you, Bob. Love your family. Wave to your boy if you can, and tell Agnes to get two fruits and two vegetables that are uncooked in them tomorrow and start from there. You got to win the days individually. And fish oil. Fish oil. Fish oil. No artificial sweetener. No MSG. No, that means no Doritos. No cheese doodles.
No, I know you got to go, but that's one of the things that went by the wayside a long time ago. It's weird. He can eat things that are spicy with, like, you know, chili pepper, whatever, if it's made from the real thing. But if he eats like a spicy jalapeno Dorito, he damn near goes into anaphylaxis, allergic to something in there.
And or bad behavior in 3 days.
Yep.
Inexplicably. And you go, why'd you do that? I really don't know, Dad. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, it does. Now, there's been a lot of making amends, you know, that step. And just gotta keep at it. All right, Jerry, you take care. You take care, my brother.
All right, man.
Happy Halloween.
You take care as well.
All right.
Happy Halloween.
Later. Bye now. The one and only Scary Jerry. And we'll keep it rolling if I can make all this stuff work right. You know, this just makes me crazy. And by the way, the stress line is up and running and hooked up. Make sure it still is. Yep, stress line's still hooked up. And I'm trying to bring Scott in San Diego on. Dadgummit. Are you there, Scott? Scott. Oh, works better if I bring the pot.
Hello?
Up. Yeah, there you are.
Yeah, pot me up.
Yeah.
Pot me up. Merciful.
Which has multiple meanings now. Pot me up.
Oh, yes, indeed. Out here it sure as hell does. A correction, a brief correction.
Yes.
Regarding the Reagan Library.
Yes.
The goats were not complete in their work. One of the two comic books was slightly scorched, but it can be repaired, so there's that.
Ah, well, good.
So there. And I'm not going to the Halloween party tonight. I wanted to go as Trump, but try as I might, I could not get my head up my ass. So there goes that idea.
You're always good.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
And you know that song, I would never have guessed in a million years what the hell that song was. And once you told me, I looked on my
Everyone's a winner, baby.
I looked on my Amazon Music Unlimited thing. I have You Sexy Thing, I have Brother Louie, and I have Disco Queen, but I did not have Everyone's a Winner.
Well, everybody, as far as Hot Chocolate's concerned, everybody knows You Sexy Thing.
Yeah, yeah. But now I've got all four of the tunes, and I'll put them into heavy rotation when I go out to the store tonight.
Well, see, what was weird is I thought I had it right off the bat when it was first mentioned to me. Because I go because I remembered Black Betty, you know, Ram Jam. Remember that?
No, sorry.
It had a grindy kind of riff to it. But then when Agnes said no, I went no, that's not Black Betty.
And don't you hate it? When you get
it was misery, like Scott. Misery.
I know. There was a tune. I don't even remember what the tune was. Several years ago, that I knew it. I knew that I knew it. I knew when I knew it from. I knew all of the stuff except what the fucking song was and who the group was. And finally, I poured my heart out to a fellow DJ person, and they knew right away what I was talking about. They could even tell me which cut on the album and what side it was on. And I should have known. This is the thing. It just, I guess as we get older, we get those little brief things in our head, those where we just cannot, nothing works. It just, you go into a room, and what'd I come in here for? You know?
Oh, jeez. Yeah, or the eternal search for your glasses that are on your head.
No, I have not done that.
Oh, Luckily, no. I've been there. Because I'm forever putting them up on my head because I'm astigmatic, so you know, I have trouble seeing things at a distance. But if I've got them on and I'm looking at something up close, it's like up on top of the head, and an hour later I'm wondering where my fucking glasses are.
Anybody seen my glasses?
And then there's the whole hey honey the whole hey honey factor.
Yeah.
Which is, hey honey, have you seen my fill in the blank?
Yeah.
And Agnes's first answer is always, no, the last time I wore them, I put them away.
Yeah.
Because it's usually my pants, my shoes. Right.
Well, fortunately I'm nearsighted enough to where I always wear my glasses with only a couple of exceptions. When I'm asleep, I don't wear them. When I'm having a shower, I don't wear them. But otherwise, without them, everything is just a soft blur. You know, even stuff relatively close is just a soft blur. And a few years ago, 20 years ago, I got into where I needed bifocals. Which is always interesting. The first time I got the new glasses with the bifocals, I was lucky I didn't pee on myself the first time I went to the bathroom with them.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Franklin.
I looked down there and I see like three penises, all of them apparently mine.
Damn it!
And I didn't know which one to grab, so I grabbed the one in the middle And luckily I was right. So anyway, but that's not why I didn't call about any of that. What the hell did I call for? It's been a little while, but that was.
Yeah. Sorry to make you wait, but I just wanted, I wanted to get some of that stuff, you know.
Well, here's the deal. Okay. I remembered two things that and your little foray into Louis land kind of prompted this thought on my part. Do these and the impeachment inquiry vote today was another thing that clued me in as to what's going on. Do these people not have any memory at all? Do they not remember 2018 and the midterms and how they got their ass handed to them, at least in the House? What was it, 47 seats?
Yeah, something like that.
And I wasn't far off. When I guessed it a few weeks before the midterms, I was only like three away from what the ultimate number was. Because I remember 1974, okay? But two things. First of all, let's count on them not having a very good memory. And maybe we can do it again, but even worse this time in 2020. House, Senate, and White House. I'll drink to that.
That's the core of my entire Dare to Dream mantra for the last 2 years.
There you go. And I have a revision. Last time I spoke with you, I told you that I was reading Stanley Greenberg, I think his name is, his book R.I.P. GOP, and was just bogged down with the bad part. It would seem like every new page you would not get to the good part. It was all a rehash of where we've been, okay? But there was a good payoff. There was one chapter where it says why and how we lost in 2016. So I was brought up to date with that. But then the good part kicked in as to what is going to happen and why it is inevitable that the Republican Party, by and large, in a place of prominence, is going to go the way of the dodo. And I won't spoil it for anybody. Get the book. It is, if you can get past the first two-thirds of it, there is a good payoff at the end. And another thing, talking about back in the 70s, not musically, but politically, I don't know how, and I sent you the link, I don't know how I missed it roughly a year ago. But around this time last year, Rachel Maddow did a seven-part podcast that you can get wherever you get your podcasts that has to do with Spiro T. Agnew, who was Nixon's vice president until he got caught, okay? And even back then, that case kind of went by the boards in terms of our memory. We all know that Spiro had to quit. We all know why, because it had some.
Where'd you go, Scott?
We go. Am I there?
You are now.
Hello?
Yeah.
Am I there?
You're there.
All right. Well, I unplugged the headphones. Maybe these headphones are acting up. Where did I leave off?
Spiro Agnew had to go.
Yeah, okay, so it had to do with tax evasion and it had to do with taking bribes on a humongous scale. So anybody who knows anything about that era knows at least that much. Even Chirps, and she wasn't even around then. But this seven-part podcast that Rachel Maddow did is called Bagman. Two words, B-A-G-M-A-N. And I exhort any of the Horn family members to get that podcast, because I didn't realize it until I was reminded, but in many, many ways, Agnew, way back when, was a forerunner to Trump. You know how Trump is down on the press? Well, Agnew was down on the press. You know how Trump
nattering nabobs of negativity, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And the small group of men in their ivory towers in Jew York City, okay? He may as well have said Jew York City, okay? with the nightly news and how it's so slanted. So Trump is down on the press. I was reminded in listening to this podcast that Spiro Agnew was a nasty fuck.
Yeah, he was.
And I hadn't really remembered what a sleazy, slimy creature he was, you know? So, you know, Bagman, Rachel Maddow, wherever podcasts are found, you'll find it well worth your time. And he was sort of Trump 1.0, lo those many years ago. And it's, you know, I forget who said it, but if you don't learn from history, what happens? You're doomed to repeat it.
George Santayana.
There you go. There you go. Let's see. Oh, I know what else I was going to say in terms of having breakthroughs as human beings. I never had substance problems to the point where I did the 12 steps. I didn't. Luckily, I was one of the few roads I didn't have to go down. But I did have a foray there for a while where I was slugging them back pretty dependably. But 30 years ago, I did something called the Forum, which is now known as the Landmark Forum. And I recommend that to anybody who was looking for just a breakthrough or being ratcheted up to a higher orbit in their life as a human being. It's called the Landmark Forum, and I'm not going to proselytize, but if you can find it where you are, anywhere where you are out there, check that puppy out. It made a profound, profound difference in my own life. And the timing of it was exquisite. I was in it 2 weekends and an evening, about 3 months before being diagnosed with a walnut-sized tumor in my head. And I will say until my dying day that what I learned through the forum, what I experienced, prepared me not only to go through that, but the aftermath with the health issues that are permanent. And when you can dance with something like that, busy day in Washington, then that makes you an awfully graceful dancer. And that was my experience of it. And I know that doesn't tell a lot of people much, except for the fact that one of the main things I got from it was, if you view life as a journey and there's a luggage restriction, you can only put so much in so many bags, the idea is to pack wisely. And from that point on, I got that what I carry with me through whatever the rest of the journey is, it's important to pack wisely. And I would like to think that's been accomplished and will continue to be accomplished as the days go on. Although sometimes it gets a little iffy. But when I get caught up in the iffiness, I sit down, take a couple of breaths, and remind myself that all of it, every last bit of it, is empty and meaningless, and it's empty and meaningless that it's empty and meaningless. And to quit looking back and quit looking ahead, be in this current moment right now and each succeeding one.
Be here now.
Yeah, and you get centered. You get, it's like hitting a big reset button. And I'm sure there are other ways to find that, but I'm a hard case. It took me two weekends and an evening. Now it's just Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, just one weekend, long weekend, and an evening. So check it out. Look it up. Landmark Forum. Is that it? I don't know. How are you doing? Are you doing okay? I worry about you sometimes.
I'm worn out.
Did the game wear you out? I found myself
it was a hot nerve wracking mess until the end of the top of the seventh.
Oh no, I'm not just talking about last night and the first two games when they were winning. those three games in D.C., I was worked up to a high frazzle.
Yeah.
I said, oh, God, are they ever going? Is this going to work out okay? And even last night, until they really caught fire, and I said, oh, I hope they. Because, I mean, I would like, it was so refreshing to get something good out of Washington for a change that didn't involve you-know-who.
Oh, no, and then the celebrating Nats fan who shocked the blonde reporter lady. that was just perfect. Yes.
Yeah, the attack of the fleeting expletives. Well, you got to have that delay, even if you're coming live from somewhere.
But apparently they don't. I don't.
No, well.
I mean, I got one here. We don't use it anymore because we don't do over the air.
Yeah.
But why you would not have one on your live audio stream in a TV station in Washington, yeah. On any TV station?
But especially in those circumstances where you know everybody.
But then again, maybe it's more difficult. This is just audio. I don't know what it's like to have a delay on audio and video, which I guess you'd have to have. I got some breaking
Washington
news.
Washington Journal does it.
Well,
it's like a 7-second delay, TV and I mean video and audio.
Well, these things go up to like 40 seconds now. It's like up to a minute. Oh. There's some fascinating technology that I have no understanding of whatsoever. I do have a little bit of breaking news, courtesy of Brother Deacon Asa, though.
Oh, boy.
Because, well, of course. Now,
is this good breaking
news
or bad?
No, it's not.
Oh, man. You're gonna harsh my chill, aren't you?
It turns out that 9,120 barrels of oil equals 380,040 gallons.
I'll take your word.
Because that's how much has leaked onto the land in North Dakota from the Keystone XL pipeline.
Just recently or altogether?
Dateline today.
Oh, man.
Affects about 2,500 square yards of land. And, you know, of course, it's seeping into the ground. They only knew about it because there was a drop in pressure on the pipeline because, these things are going to leak. The company's not sure how the leak started, but says an independent party is examining the pipeline. Yeah, maybe you might want to ask the Standing Rock Sioux people.
Yeah. Well, when it comes right down
and,
to it.
And wait, oh, there's more.
All right, God.
The North Dakota Department of Environmental Quality, which is an oxymoron, it's a wholly owned subsidiary of the oil and gas companies, said the spill impacted a wetland area. Personnel from the NDDEQ are at the site and will continue to monitor the investigation and remediation. Meanwhile, the Indigenous Environmental Network said, this is exactly the kind of spill we were worried about when it comes to Keystone XL being built. It's never been if a pipeline breaks, but rather when. Yeah.
And it's really needless for that shit to be going on. This is, after all, 2019, almost 2020.
Yes.
And don't we get it by now that gas and oil and coal are Mother Nature's poo? Don't we know that? And I would go so far as to say it's the devil's poo. And you add gas to it, that fits.
Sure.
And if we, I mean, you go again back to the 70s, if we had stayed on track with alternative energy.
If we had paid attention to Jimmy Carter instead of having the assholes out there in the media saying, oh, Jimmy Carter gave a malaise speech today. He put on a sweater.
Yeah.
God damn it, we're supposed to be able to keep our houses so warm we're running around in Speedos in January.
Not me. You're in California. I'm not running. It's these running, what do you call them, sweats. Even in California, sweats are nice this time of year. I'm going to have to break out the tobacco pipe now that cool weather is back.
Do you have a sweater with elbow patches and a shawl collar?
No. I've got my sweat.
If you're going to haul out, you need a cardigan sweater with a shawl collar and elbow patches. If you're going to smoke a pipe, I mean, there are rules. This is not Vietnam.
Even a corn cob pipe?
Yes. In that case, you have to put on a pair of bib overalls under your sweater.
Professor Zeke and his magic overalls and pipe. But yeah, I was thinking, I was out the other night doing some errands, and there was just a little chill in the air. And I said, well, I guess November is going to be here soon. So from November, December, January, February, March, maybe into April, go out on the front porch, sit down, pack the pipe, light that puppy up. We've got all sorts of tobacco. I was on a kick there for a while, buying different blends and flavors and varieties. And it's a whole different thing. I mean, I've got a little,
you know, I'm working on my little latest hobby, slowly but surely, because some of the ingredients are hard to come by, at least around here. I've been marshaling together the ingredients to make my own ramen broth.
I keep hearing you talk about this.
And I'm getting very close. I'm going to have to save my nickel. Me and Mayella Ewell, we'll probably have to save our nickels for a slap year to accomplish it. I got to get myself an uncured pork belly. And Ralph's sent me the link a few nights ago for finding one of those. They're just a little, as they say up in New England, spendy.
Yeah.
But I've been watching videos and learning how to do it. And today, my dried porcini my dried shiitake mushrooms and my dried anchovies and my dried shrimp arrived. Yesterday, my kombu, my dried kelp arrived. And
I had no idea there was so much different, many ingredients.
No, this is amazing. I mean, it's something, it's downright zen.
Well, now, how are you going to approach the noodles?
It's going to be probably cold outside. I don't know. I may make the noodles. I don't know.
Do you have a noodle maker, a pasta? Are they the same as pasta, real ramen noodles?
Well, but they're somewhat alkaline.
Yeah.
But apart from that, but you can make them, just a flat surface and some flour and some dowels, of substantial size as rolling pins.
Yeah.
But the broth is what it's all about.
Yeah.
It's a multi-days long process.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like you take the pork neck bones and the trotters and the chicken feet. Remember the chicken feet?
Oh yeah.
But particularly the pork, you rinse it and rinse it and rinse it and get all the little bits and pieces out. Anything that smacks of, blood or tissue that isn't meat and bone. You rinse it and then you let it soak cold for a day. And then you drain that water off, put more water in, and boil it and bring it up to a boil and let it cook for hours. And one of the more fascinating things I saw in it is that you quarter two yellow onions and you leave the outside skin on. And you smash five or six cloves of garlic and chuck them in there, and a couple of carrots, and it's just for color and maybe a little bit of flavor. And then you make a separate broth with the kombu and the shiitake mushrooms and the little sardines or anchovies and the dried shrimp. And
isn't the key to it like the elements of the broth making that where the marrow comes out of the bony bits? Isn't that a big part of it?
Or? Maybe to an extent. But the real trick is to, and then you have to make what's called tare, which is a flavoring sort of sauce, and then there's an aromatic herbal oil, and then you have to braise the pork belly in a mixture of like soy sauce and sake and various and sundry other different flavorings, and you gotta soft boil the eggs and soak them for 2 days.
You're really into this, man.
Oh, because it's delicious. I had it in Philly and I had it in New York, and I've never had anything so delicious in my life. And they even make a passing fare bowl of it over across the river.
Huh.
But you make it, and you can take the broth and everything, and you can put it in a tight container and freeze it, because you wind up making gallons of this stuff.
Yeah.
And I just have this notion that come February, it is going to warm me all the way to, and Agnes.
Oh, I'm sure.
And Ferg and Margie, it's going to warm us all the way to our toenails. I may even have to get in the car and go over to eldest daughter's and make it for the grandbabies. So, because I'm absolutely committed to the idea that they are not going to be finicky eaters.
You know, and I was hungry for the other night.
What's that?
Again, one of these cool, not quite the dead of autumn, but some of the first crisp nights that we've had around here. I got off the bus about a block and a half from where I was going, and walking that block and a half, there was just, you know how smells go further somehow during the cooler weather, aromas and things, or at least they do out here. I'm walking along to the pet store to get Chirps some canned food the other night, and I couldn't tell where it was coming from. The air was filled with the aroma of curry. And I got to thinking how long it's been since I've had a good curry dish, you know, like chicken or something, or curry beef. And I walking back from the pet store to the next bus stop that I had to go to come back home, or to stop by Ralph's or Kroger's and then go home, I passed right by the curry joint. And I made a note of where it was.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
a good
maybe
joint.
I'll do that in a cup. Oh,
yeah,
God.
Get a real good head sweat going on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's not like overwhelmingly spicy. I can't really do spicy stuff real well, but if it'll bring on the sweat, and then plus you have that flavor, you know, which is distinct or distinctive.
Yeah, and the other thing, I was talking to my friend who runs the little Thai place just a couple of miles from here.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much longer she's going to stay open, but I sure hope she does. She makes homemade Thai tom yum soup, which is the spicy, tangy Thai soup. And I said, you know, it's going to get cold now. Can we please have tom yum? She said, I make for you very soon.
See, it's good to have a place like that. And is it not popular, or she just can't afford to do it anymore?
No, it's dynamics having to do with a marriage falling apart that fell apart, and another nasty ex-husband.
I hate when that happens.
And it's the best food on this side of the river, bar none.
And it's prepared with love and devotion to the happiness and skill. But
she makes these little steamed
happiness of the diner.
Yeah, she makes these little.
Isn't that the intangible ingredient?
That's the way it's supposed to work. Yeah, and she makes these little steamed dumplings stuffed with spices and ground pork.
Yeah, you've mentioned those.
She makes all her own sauces. And the sauce that goes with that has a little bit of fish sauce to it. But it's also very sweet and dark, and bang, homemade spring rolls that are just, and the reason I've mentioned it is because her curries, she makes a Penang curry that'll bring out a head sweat, and is just a flavor party in your mouth.
Yeah. Jeez, now I want curry even more than I did the other
night. Well, lucky you, you're 3 hours behind me. You can just take your happy ass right out down the road and go get you some.
No, I can't. Not till 10. That's when Social Security hits the old account.
Ah.
1 a.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. my time. So I've got to run. I've got to pick up a couple of things at Target. So I'll be in the exact opposite direction of where the curry place is. But I made a note of where it was. You know what tonight's deal? You know, I've been in this apartment. This will be my third Halloween. And in that wow. span of time, I have only spent $1.50 on Halloween candy. And here's what I do. I invested wisely 3 years ago in a bag of circus peanut candy. Okay, those awful things. I think the pilgrims used to caulk their log cabins with circus peanuts. But the little goblins, every now and then, a knock will come at the door because the doorbell's broke, and I'll brandish that bag of nasty circus peanuts.
You're like, nah,
and
later.
They run. They run just as fast as their little legs will carry them, Bob.
Well, you'll get a kick out of this.
All right.
Tracy sent this along the other day, or no, earlier today, and I laughed my ass off. It's from The Root, guy is a brilliant satirist, Michael Harriet.
Yeah.
Comparing the 2020 presidential candidates to Halloween treats. Joe Biden.
I'm laughing already.
Joe Biden, candy corn. Candy corn is a mix of white sugar, corn syrup, and gelatin protein that's been a Halloween staple since 1898. Joe Biden is a mix of white sugar, corniness, and proteins, and he's been running for president since 1984. Yeah. Although I have referred to candy corn as the devil's butt plug, two nights in a row with that word now, God damn it, and called Joe Biden Uncle Not Racist, just set in his ways.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily hate either one. I just wonder, given the diversity of candy and presidential choices, why anyone would choose them over something delicious like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups or Stacey Abrams. In fact, Joe Biden is the presidential frontrunner for the same reason candy corn is still a thing. We know it's trash, but we're used to it.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders, Raisinettes. People love Raisinettes.
Yeah.
I assume that's true because they're everywhere, in movie theaters, candy store shelves, and checkout lanes. Although I've never seen anyone buy a pack of Raisinettes, I can see their appeal. On paper, Bernie Sanders and Raisinettes make perfect sense. They're a tried-and-true staple, raisins and an old white senator, dipped in something everyone likes, chocolate, progressive policies. Here's what's wrong with Raisinettes and Bernie Sanders. People who want chocolate don't want raisins. People who like progressive policies are tired of old white men, and people who like old white men don't care about left-leaning politics. In theory, Raisinettes are a great idea until you realize what they are. Something you like, chocolate, covering an old withered grape. Elizabeth Warren, old lady pocketbook candy.
No. Grandma's candy dish candy all fused together.
Yeah, one of your aunties. The original black girl magic was how my grandma fit a box of Kleenex, a snub-nose 38, a prayer cloth, a sewing kit, a jar of Tussie, jumper cables, and a Ziploc bag with a deck of graham crackers and a pimento cheese sandwich in one purse, and still had a special compartment that hid an unlimited supply of Werther's Originals, peppermints, and other assorted hard candy. The only thing that comes close is the mystery of how Elizabeth Warren seems to have a plan that will pay for Medicare for all, college tuition for all, daycare for all, high-grade recreational marijuana for all, and reparations for all. You know, white people are going to figure out a way to get reparations checks by claiming their ancestors dated the black guy in college. Then again, I don't know how all board-certified ushers have an endless supply of these little wrapped-up strawberry candies. You know the ones I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I think you need a mother of a church to vouch for you or have a plug on the usher board to get those candies. And like Elizabeth Warren's plans, they might be hard to unwrap, but they're delicious as fuck. Kamala Harris, candy apple.
Ooh.
Candy apples are delicious and nutritious, so they seem like the perfect Halloween treat. Kamala Harris is a smart, experienced black woman, which makes her the perfect Democratic candidate. See what I did there? Never mind. Every year we hear unsubstantiated stories about people putting razor blades and chemicals in candy apples. I'm sure something like this has happened before, but should we really be worried? Maybe these vicious rumors were spread by the candy corn industry lobby. Are the stories about Kamala Harris's problematic criminal justice past an indication that she was trying to reform the system from the inside? Or are they just negative cherry-picked incidents perpetuated by her rivals? To become a prosecutor, an attorney general, and a U.S. senator requires a certain mettle and sharpness, and some people might mistake this for a razor blade. Kamala Harris is probably not a poison apple, but just in case, I bite down real slow. Pete Buttigieg, Swedish Fish, Cory Booker, Peppermint Patty, Beto O'Rourke, Blow Pop. There's only one thing wrong with Blow Pops and Beto O'Rourke. Once you get past the delicious outside and chew on it for a while, you realize what's inside is very underwhelming. Julian Castro, random piece of candy. Andrew Yang, Cracker Jacks.
Somebody's got to be a licorice nib.
Who are we kidding? We like Cracker. Who are we like? Who are we kidding? We like Cracker Jacks because of the prize inside. Who are we kidding? We like Andrew Yang because he's giving away money.
Yeah.
But the reason I thought of all this was because of what you said a few minutes ago about your 3-year-old bag of candy. Amy Klobuchar.
Oh, no.
Circus Peanuts.
Yeah.
Why are Amy Klobuchar and Circus Peanuts a thing? Have you ever met any Amy Klobuchar supporters or a fan of Circus Peanuts? Even Amy Klobuchar's mom said she's voting for Kamala Harris. Tulsi Gabbard, Pop Rocks.
Ooh.
Tulsi has the crazy eyes and talks like she's holding you hostage, and the cops are knocking at the door because a neighbor heard some suspicious sounds while Tulsi's calmly warning you not to try anything funny because she's right behind the door holding a knife to your beloved son's throat. So just get rid of the cops and everything will be over soon. What I'm trying to say is that Tulsi Gabbard might kill you. I don't think she will, but... And then there's Marianne Williamson, marijuana edible.
Yeah, well, that goes without saying almost.
And finally, Donald Trump, flaming bag of shit. You can't talk about Halloween treats without talking about tricks. There are good candies on both sides. While my favorite Halloween trick was using rotten eggs in our annual neighborhood egg war, the oldest and most famous Halloween prank involves putting dog shit in a paper bag, leaving it on someone's porch, setting it on fire, and then ringing the doorbell. You can guess what would happen when they tried to stomp out the fire. And that's,
yes.
That's the Halloween prank that was pulled on America 3 years ago.
Bingo.
Luckily, Marianne Williamson stopped by a few minutes ago with the marijuana edibles. I love that.
Well, you were talking about grandma's pocketbook candy. I don't even know if they make it. I know, but I'm trying to think if they even make it anymore. Because most grocery stores or department stores, Five and Dimes, used to have a candy counter. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and Brock's candy.
Look, yes, I've looked all over for Brock's because Brock's Butterscotches, and not B-R-O-C-K, B-R-A-C-H apostrophe S.
Yes.
Brock's Butterscotches and Brock's Cinnamon Discs were the only one of either that were fit to eat, period.
But wait, there was a mystery candy that Brock's made. They were little rectangle blocks that were cellophane wrapped, each one, and they were like slightly off-white with chunks of color stuff in them. The blocks themselves were like a nougat sort of thing.
Yes, yes, yes. I remember that. Yes.
What the hell were those? And what are those colorful bits inside of those things?
I remember them. I don't remember ever eating them because I've never been a big fan of nougat.
Well,
I think the very word nougat put me off.
But my grandmother on my mother's side, my maternal grandmother, Nanny, we used to call her, had a candy dish. And it was always Brock. But it was like the peppermint swirls, you know. The
discs, yeah.
The discs, the butterscotch, and these fucking mystery nougat things, these blocks.
No, I remember. No, I can see them. It's kind of like the hot chocolate song. I can hear it. And I can see those things in my mind. And you know what else I can see? I can see me walking past them on the candy counter.
Well, and this is the thing. The kids would eat the peppermints, they would eat the butterscotch, and the candy dish would be devoid of those two items, but there would be a handful of these mystery, colorful nougat.
Yeah, because nobody wanted them.
Right.
It may be why Brock's went out of business or something.
Well, you know, and they used to do a thing called bridge mix.
Yes, with the peanuts and the raisins and the...
Oh, I used to love that stuff.
And Agnes,
never knew
and
what...
Agnes loves, above all things, root beer barrels.
Yes, that's something you don't see much anymore. Or Mary Jane's. Those little peanut-flavored, chewy candies. They were called Mary Jane's. There was a little girl on the...
and the other thing, I'm looking at the Brock's website now. They also...
Oh, they're around then.
Yeah, they make candy corn, of course. And their candy corn is better than anybody else's candy corn. They expanded into s'mores flavor candy corn. But they're also responsible
silly.
For those.
That's just silly, Bob.
Well, they're also responsible for those obnoxious little orange with green top candy pumpkins, which are the same thing as candy corn, only in a different shape.
See, that shit is almost, those pumpkins, I didn't care. I would trade those away to my little brother. That's probably why he grew up to carry guns, just as a reaction as a grown-up.
Son of a gun, look at this. So I click on products, and there's the cinnamon hard candies. There's the Brock's lemon drops, the butterscotch, and there's the Starbright's peppermints.
I forgot about the lemon drops.
The damn butterscotches are gone.
Well, that's un-American. Are you sure?
Let's see. In the sugar-free, there's the butterscotches, there's the cinnamons, there's the mint, there's the mints, there's the lemon drops, there's the root beer barrels.
I can't imagine having one without sugar in it.
But no sugary butterscotch.
That's
probably high fructose corn syrup anyway, God damn it.
Well, and that's another good thing about living here. You can have all the
maple nut goodies. Maple nut goodies.
No, what is that? Those.
Oh, and those jelly and those jelly mandarin orange slices. Those were fun.
Oh God, I haven't had those in years. You know where those strawberry candies were? You used to see those, and I don't think that the stores exist anymore, except around the holidays when it's like a kiosk. The Hickory Farm store.
Oh yeah.
To toss in a handful of those things when you bought your beef stick or your cheese or whatever. I used to love the old standalone in a mall, not a kiosk, but a real actual walk-in store.
Oh, there's this. There's this
damn beef jerky.
Oh, I loved, and they pop up in the mall now, but those standalone stores, I think, are mostly gone. But there they are. They come out at Christmas. Brock's Christmas Nougats. Only these are the ones that are red are white with the red dots, and they got a little Christmas tree printed in them.
No, I don't think I'd like those. So again, with the nougat, because it's...
Yeah, the very word.
Yeah. God, now I want Brock's candies. Or a Payday. I haven't had a Payday since God was a teenager. I used to love those things.
Well, they're all there, but I can't find them anywhere. No, they're not at Kroger's, they're not at Wiggling Pig, and they're not at Wally World. I guess I'm going to have to order them.
What, Paydays?
No, Brock's.
Oh, Brock's, yeah. Well, yeah, I wasn't sure that they were still around, but if they've got a website. And there was the woman, the old woman, Mrs. Brock, Helen Brock, I believe her name was, the heir to the Brock fortune, apparently was a horsewoman. And there was some horrible murder that took place involving her as victim.
And by the way, Randy in PA says, nougat is egg white and sugar with jello type bits.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
They are, the Brock's, what you're thinking of, they are jelly bean nougats.
No, that stuff inside them, those colorful bits, are not jelly beans, because I've had jelly beans. I don't even know how to describe the flavor of them.
But that may be what they're apparently, and you know, Bron knows his shit. That's what they're called.
And what are they called again?
Jelly bean nougats.
I wonder if they come in a bag, because a lot of Brock candy you can find in stores, grocery stores, or used to be able to, and they were not, you know, they weren't a deal where you took the scoop and buy a half pound or a quarter pound. They were pre-bagged, in other words. I wonder if those nougat things are sold that way. Because I'd like, they say your taste buds change, but I don't know, Bob. I don't think I'd like them even now.
Well, maybe, you know, the other companies, you know, they fucked up the five flavors lifesavers. They took out the lime and the pineapple and replaced it with like blue raspberry, which isn't even a fucking thing in nature.
Fuck that.
I always love the tropical fruit ones. I think those are gone. Yeah. Well, they can probably be found in a little store in the Lower East Side of New York. There's a great candy store there. I'm loading up next time I'm up there.
Find that Sammy Davis Jr. song, Candyman. That's where we're at. Let's talk about.
Hey, Scott, I got to
make a rainbow.
Yeah, but I got to get out of here because we're a quarter past.
Sprinkle it with dew. All right. Well, thank you, Bob, for this trip down Candyland Lane.
And you know what? He may not be the Demented Circus Peanut, having just upon further review, based upon our previous conversation.
Yeah.
He's the Demented Candy Pumpkin.
Yeah. That would be it, with that green thing on his
head. With the goofy green top, yes.
Which is... All right, Bob, take care.
All right, see you, Scott. Later.
Best of everything to the Horn family.
All right.
Love y'all.
Bye now. And it's time to get out of here. Happy Halloween, everybody. Quoth the Raven, nevermore. Thanks to all of you who keep the program going month in and month out. Thanks for our Patreon subscribers, our PayPal subscribers, and all of you who kick in on an a la carte basis. I can tell you that thanks to Greg, we are halfway done with Bruce's Memorial Challenge for tomorrow. So another $100 and we've got that licked. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room this evening. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox, Ben Birch. Thank you, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all. See you in the morning, son.